And welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, so we're going to read first our scripture reading for tonight. We'll be picking up where we left off last week. We were reading last week in John, Gospel of John, and we're going to be picking up the week in chapter 20, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Okay, let me just get rid of a few things on the panel, on the desktop here. Right, last week, I had mentioned that I was going to post some new information concerning news, and I'd like to just share that with everyone tonight. I believe I just put it under the news here, and it's I just called it the real news. Anybody that is really looking to try to understand what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak, a lot of information that has taken place that Q has given us, and a lot of proof that Q is military intelligence, is eventually seen. You know, there's a biblical principle that truth is self-evident, and consistency, and over a period of time, truth does become evident. That's how our courts operate. We have 12 individuals with 12 different points of view, 12 different perspectives, and they examine the accused, and they examine the evidence, and they come to a conclusion, and truth will eventually reveal itself. And if it's unclear, then of course, if there's contradictory evidence and it's just unclear that this person is guilty, of course they have to then let that person go. Unfortunately, in our judicial system, in our process, I heard of a case recently where a jury came in and found, I think it was, they found the individual not guilty. I think that's what it was. I don't remember which way it was. And the judge dismissed the jury and dismissed the decision and made his own decision up. And it went by. I mean, that's how seriously defunct our judicial system is, where one person could make a decision. A person who is a political individual, an individual that has hired help, a servant. And this is the people's job. And this is what people need to understand, of course, is that it's we, the people, that decide these things. It's our court, and it's 12 individuals who decide the law and decide justice, decide the restitution or the punishment that's necessary for whatever the accusations or the crime is. In any event, pretty much as far as self-evident, over a period of time, things have just become obvious, and there's enough evidence put out to make one come to a conclusion on whether something is accurate or not. As for me, I'm convinced at this point that most likely these things that's happening with Q, it's just too overwhelming for me to dismiss. But of course, people have to look for themselves. They have to decide. They have to see. So anyway, I've been looking at quite a few different places where I get my information from. And I like to share that with everyone. I put that under the real news. Some of these places people are already aware of. Yeah?
John, I can just barely understand you. You're quite low in level, and I can't make out your words very well. Can you check your mic?
Yeah, let me try something different. Yeah. Is anyone on the phone? Maybe it's just a jam. Let me try to put my...
Up.
Yeah, I'm trying to move my mic and put it onto my collar here.
Okay.
How's that? Is that any better? Is that any better, Jan?
Yes, that is much better.
Okay. All right, well, anyway, basically what I was saying, that I wanted to put out some places where I get my news from. I think it's very powerful news, and I know those who have talked with other individuals who are watching some of these programs, and they kind of agree with that kind of thinking. But in any event, I know most of us have been familiar with some of these things like X-22. But I'll tell you what, I've been listening to Amazing Polly for about a month now. I had picked up some of her things in the past, and about a month ago I went to seek out her site and take a look to see what exactly she's talking about and different things. And she is amazing. The research that this woman does, and nobody else is doing research like this woman. Nobody else is bringing this information. And I would suggest for people, you know, to go out if you can listen to what's going on, and you start moving backwards on this thing. Go check out the latest one, which was August 7th, and go back to the 6th and the 4th and so on, and work your way back, because it'll be well worth it. I mean, she has found and revealed things that kind of answers to, you know, things that are missing. And so she comes up with a lot of really, really great stuff. The other place, and again, like I said, X-22, most of us have been listening to for a while. Front Page, a lot of people have been looking and listening to. Now, Christian Patriot News is pretty good also now. There's a lot of Q stuff that comes through on this one. And again, you can go and listen to his latest stuff and work your way backwards to sort of catch up to the plan. He gives some really, really good inside information and goes back and lays out the program with Q and how Q is the information that Q had been given over the past years. I think Q started out in 2018, I think, or maybe even the end of 17. I don't remember particularly when. But a lot of things that Q has been talking about really is for now. And that's the amazing thing, and the accuracy of what Q said back in 2018, 2019, 2020, that's taken place today. And that's kind of one of the things that kind of settles it for me, that his information is pretty accurate. But again, consistency proves whether things are true or not. And you just listen long enough and look for the consistency. Truth is self-evident. This other person here, quite frankly, I just found this guy maybe a week or two. Matter of fact, I think I found him through Amazing Polly. And I listened to a couple of his programs, and I thought the conversation was really good, and there's a lot of insights that come from this place also, so I figured I'd put that one up there. Many of us are familiar with Black Conservative Patriot, Crossroads with Joshua Phillips, and the Hillsdale College. A lot of great stuff in Hillsdale College. You know, the one thing that they seem to be missing over there, and I've listened to the president of Hillsdale College talk many times, and of course you'll hear a lot of his speaking, and he's on the mark with a lot of things, but he does fail. And he's a reader, a ferocious reader. He's read many books. He's highly intelligent and so on, but apparently he hasn't read, for instance, Brent Winter's book, Excellent of the Common Law. He's not familiar with the common law. Generally, it seems that he is, but he's not really familiar. And but other than that, his insights and information is really solid. I put Dr. Berg up here and Dr. John Bergman because those two doctors have revealed a lot of things on how the body can heal itself. You need to just feed it with the right things, exercise, diet, and basically feed it with the proper supplements and vitamins that one needs. And particularly Dr. Berg gets into a lot of details on a lot of different medical problems. And he lays out and shows you exactly how these conditions are caused by a lack of something in your system. And overweight is really the biggest destructor of the human body. It causes much diseases, many diseases. But in any event, he not only gives you the problems, he also lays out the solution. And I can tell you from my own personal experience in life, I've been listening to him for about 4 or 5 months now, and my health has just went 180 degrees turn because I started to follow his advice. The good thing about this guy is he doesn't waste anyone's time. A lot of his videos are 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, occasionally something a little longer, but not much. So a lot of his videos are short. But he does have a couple of videos from time to time where he does something on the long term. But other than that, same thing with Dr. Bergman. Dr. Bergman, though, is a lot longer. Most of his programs are like 45 minutes long. I don't have that kind of time sometimes to listen, but I'll put them on in the background, pick up a lot of little things, and that's true with a lot of these people. I can't necessarily sit and listen to them all day long because I got too much to do. Epic Times also is another place to get some good information, and it's really set up as a newspaper to read, so the top stories. And then this has just been some videos we had been putting up over the past couple of years. And like you see, a lot of these YouTubes have been shut down. Videos that were on YouTube are shut down. We're going to start focusing in. Just got to find the time. They shut down one of our YouTubes also a couple of weeks ago. And they violated some videos on another one of our YouTubes. But one of them is totally shut down, and that was one of my original YouTubes. It's been around for a long time. I haven't even posted anything up there in quite some time, but there's a lot of videos up there that we had used on our website, so you'll probably find a lot of blank spots on our website from these videos. A lot of videos on health have been shut down. But we're going to try to find a time. I don't know if we can get someone that can work with us that knows how to use this process. We're putting the videos up and working with us to create some new videos. If not, I'm going to little by little try to work things out. We're going to go on to, I forget the name of the one we're going to go on to. Francine, what was the one we were talking about that we're thinking move our videos over to?
It was either BitChute or Rumble.
Rumble. I think it was Rumble because we know that we can live stream off of that, and we may try to live stream our Monday night program. So Rumble is probably going to be the one we're going to go with. But I have to find time to figure that out, and I'm really busy right now. Maybe in a couple of weeks I'll be able to find time. But if we can get someone that can volunteer for us that would like to work with us to work that part of our program for us, it would be much appreciated. So anyway, again, this is found under news, coming down to the news and clicking on the real news. You know, I may move this actually just in this direct line and might even put it all the way up on top. So anybody's interested in that. Now, obviously, I've been pushing really hard on this campaign for constitutional sheriffs, and it's a really, really important campaign. I think it was coming in tonight's questions, and maybe I saw it in an email. I don't know. I don't remember. But someone had mentioned something about, is there a place where we can find a list of the sheriffs that are getting or got, the book. You know, who we're going to be sending a book out to. And I'm very hesitant to doing that. Very, very hesitant. I want to look at it from the standpoint we've got 3,000 plus sheriffs, and we need to get books to 3,000 plus sheriffs. And if someone has already gotten a book for a sheriff that is in the county they live in, where they went out to, donate a book to their sheriff, they may decide, probably in a lot of cases, people will decide, well, my sheriff's got one, so I'm not going to donate one. And that sort of hurts what we're really trying to do. When we get a purchase of a book, a donation to purchase a book, what we're doing is that one of the reasons we ask for the county that they live in, when you go to sign up to fill out the information to purchase a book for your sheriff, you fill in your county. So once we know your state and your county, what I've done is I've already printed out, it took me 13 hours to do this, but it's all done. I printed out all the labels for every sheriff in America. And so they're ready to go out. So all I have to do is look up the state, look up the county, pull the label off, put it onto the box, and pack and then ship them out. Now, if I go to pull out a label and that county's not there, obviously we shipped out to that county. And so then I'll pull somewhere in that state, you know, the next label off. I'll pull the next label and put it onto the box and ship it out. And we make that point when you go to purchase the book to donate to your sheriff that if your sheriff's already got one, then we're just going to send it to another sheriff. Our goal is to get all 3,000 sheriffs educated. So we need to get a book into the hands of all 3,000 sheriffs. And, you know, the people have been asking a lot of questions, and obviously some people haven't been paying attention to what we're doing. You know, people who come to our meetings here, you know, they're pretty much up to date to a lot of things. We try to keep everyone up to date of what we're doing. But some people, I guess, just aren't. And if you go out, for instance, you know, to the book itself, people, I saw some emails come in. Well, what's the book about? You know, tell me what's in the book. Well, if they click on the link, and I send an email out concerning this, to go out and I gave them the link, and you click on the link, and this is all the information you need to look to see what's about the book. There's a lot of good information. We give the preface. You can go click on the preface here. Where is it? Let me see what that's at. Yeah, click here to read the book's preface, and this gives you a good kind of insight on what the book is all about. 15 pages, so it's a lot of information, and this is the way the book flows, the way this preface is. So it's a good representation of the book. So if people want to know what the book is about, what's in the book before they purchase it, you know, you go to a bookstore, you flip through the pages, you look at the index, you read the preface, you read what people say about the book, and then you make a decision of whether you're going to buy it or not. Well, we've given all that information here on this page for people to make a decision. And of course, you know, we have the table of contents, so it really covers all the things we cover. You know, to understand a lot of the way our system works is in here. And that, well, I'm going to write another book, I think, since I got the time. I'm thinking of working on two books. I'm working on one right now. But there's a couple of more books I really like to write. But one of the books I'd like to write is a book on court access and how court cases work and how the process works and so on and so forth. A lot of the way things are working today, it'll continue to work, okay? And how to approach a case, it'll continue to work. As a matter of fact, when a person's properly educated, and you don't need to become a lawyer to be able to go into a court and defend yourself and even defend someone else, you don't need to be a lawyer to do that. And everyone should have the ability to do that once they come out of school. And this is why it's so important that we get this information into our schools. Our children need to be learning about civics, learning about their heritage, learning true American history, and learning the words of our founding fathers and what is common law and all these things. And all this stuff is in the book. And this is what our children need to learn as much as we need to learn it. And our sheriffs need to learn it. Someone was concerned, well, is the sheriff going to read the book? You know, why don't we just do, put my book into a PDF form and just give it away and send that to the sheriff? Well, it's 900 pages, and I doubt any sheriff's going to read a 900-page PDF. And, of course, a small fortune to send that out to 3,000 sheriffs also. But I don't think they'll take it serious. We did have a campaign going where we were faxing. We had fax machines. We had 10 fax machines faxing all day long, 24/7. And we were faxing information to sheriffs. We were faxing information to many, many other people in government. And I don't think that really went anywhere. It's a fax and a page of information. And then, of course, the word goes out of these guys, they're wackos, they're patriots, they're, this or that or the other thing. And so I think a lot of it has just been ignored. But when you get a book, and the other thing that's important about this book, let's take a quick look at this on how this page is set up here. Right here. If you click on to donate to our campaign for constitutional sheriffs to save our republic, when you click on that, in fact, I'm going to put bigger words here because it's not as clear as buying a book here, it should be, I'll put some bigger words here so people can see it more clearly. But one of the things we're doing is we're sending a letter. Sheriff Dar, who was working to organize the state and also of sheriffs and organized, even taking that to the national level, he was nice enough to write a letter. He's been following us for a while and getting a lot of information from us. We have members that are working with Sheriff Dar to organize the sheriffs. And he wrote a letter. And this is the letter, you can read it here, from Sheriff Dar, that will be inserted in every single book. When the book goes out, it's going to be accompanied by a letter. We're also going to do a half-page informational sheet, which will let the sheriff know that, hey, you know, you and your deputies can come out and take a constitutional course. You can take our civics course and other courses that we have. And you can download, you can come over here to the People's Duty. We're going to lay all this out on a piece of paper, an information sheet. And you can come down to the handbooks and click on the handbooks, and you can download these handbooks. We have a sheriff's handbook here. So we're going to, put this together and encourage the sheriff to send his deputies and even himself to come and get educated in here. But the important thing is getting the book, which is a full comprehensive education for that sheriff. It pulls everything together. Is there more to learn beyond that? Well, of course, there's always something more to learn. There are so many things on our website and so much work that other people have done that people should be looking at. But just go through the book. It's extremely comprehensive. And some who wants to further their education, they will. But no one is required to do that. That in itself is just enough. But I will tell you also that a sheriff's handbook, I mean, not a sheriff, the sheriff's handbook, okay, which is 38 pages, creates a fully informed jurist. And so even for the sheriff to read this, it will just open his mind to see and understand common law and realize how far off base we have come as a people. So this handbook, of course, is available. All these books are available. And they'll always be available in PDF form for free right here. Again, under People's Duties, just come down and click on Handbooks, and you can get the list here. This also gives the sheriff the ability and some insight on how we're putting together, the Committees of Safety, because we have the Committee of Safety handbook here. It's a COS handbook. And that particular handbook is 74 pages, and it lays out exactly how to set up a Committee of Safety and all the necessary things to bring it together and do it correctly. And we learned this from our founding fathers. So it's extremely important that we follow in their footsteps. What they used to create this nation, we can use to save this nation. And so there's many, many other things. We have the malicious code rules and resolutions, and this should really make the sheriff feel comfortable with the people he's working with in their county as long as they've adopted this, the rules and resolutions for the militia. We also have the Committee of Safety resolutions. It's only 9 pages, this is the framework that people need to work out. Now, we've gone through all this before in the past, but I just want to breeze through this again. And so people need to work with this, use this as a framework, and of course they're going to add a lot more. They're going to have a lot more because every county is different, every state is different. We all have different problems, but also we have the same problems in certain sense. We have Agenda 21 problem. Agenda 21, by the way, is going to disappear once we get onto the other side because it's unconstitutional, it's unlawful. So I wouldn't make a big battle against it at the moment, but I wouldn't deter people who are battling at the moment either, and I wouldn't deter people in counties if they wanted to battle that in the counties. But they need to keep their eye on the prize. The prize is winning the federal courts. After we win the federal courts, then it's the state courts. We have to deal with the judiciary on a federal level first. We have to deal with the United States, the U.S. Court, because they are a major, major problem. So the Supreme Court has to be dealt with, and that's probably true. Well, it's not probably. It is true in every state. We have problems on our courts. They are up, every one of them, all of them, There's no exception. All of them is applying civil law, Justinian law, Roman law, it's just whatever name you want to use, it's all the same. Babylonian law, that's where it stems from. That's what they're applying upon us, the law to control the people. Municipality law, it's called, also. It's got lots of names, but it all brings back and boils back down to Babylonian law. It's the law to control the people, to keep the slaves under control. And that's what it's all about. They've all adopted this. They're all exercising this. The rules of federal procedure is unconstitutional. You know, when they came out with the rules in 1938, prior to that, it was the rules of common law that guided the equity courts, as much as, of course, it guides the common law courts, the courts of law. And of course, they destroyed all that. So, you know, a lot of these people may not necessarily be guilty, but they surely are, useful idiots, I guess we call them. They've been brainwashed in their schools. They brainwash our children in our schools, and they brainwash them even deeper when they go into the bar schools and learn the bar rules, and everything runs and is controlled by the bar. Well, we got to remember who's behind the bar, and that brings us to the deep state, the elite, the powers that be. But anyway, going back to these handbooks, like I said, there's plenty of handbooks they can all download. We have to educate our sheriffs. We have to push this campaign, and I'm going to continue to push this campaign. I'm going to report to the people how many books we've sold on a weekly basis. And to some degree, it's going to embarrass us, and it should embarrass us, and hopefully it'll wake us up, because we need to put our monies where it counts. You know, people put their money in a lot of different places. Well, there's nothing more important than for us to put our money into the salvation of our republic. And National Liberty Alliance has the only real plan to save this nation. It is true, of course, Trump is working on this problem, and the military is working on this problem, and they can reset everything, but they can't save the republic. The republic, in order to be a natural law republic, it must be run by the people. It can't be run by government people. It can't be run by Trump or the military. People have to not be lazy about this. We have to get ourselves out there and get re-educated. Now, I know a lot of the people coming to this call, you know, I've been hearing this for quite some time, and I'm trusting that many of us are educating ourselves and continuing on. But we get people coming from time to time that are new, and of course, I want to push that information out into our membership. We got 10,000 members. I am perplexed that within a couple of weeks that we can't get 3,000 books out with 10,000 members. So I'm going to push that envelope as far as I can push it, and people have got to step up to save this nation. And it's not just getting the book. They have to get involved. You know, I hear people talk all the time, and again, I've mentioned this many times, you know, we don't know what to do. Or someone will say, well, we've got to get out there, we've got to do that, but then they don't know what to tell them to do. Well, we got that answer. We've got that solution. And it's not something we created. It's something we found. It's something we discovered. It's in our heritage. So education is the key. That is the key to a republic, a natural law republic. And participation is required. If we do not create our committees of safety and take back this nation county by county, because that's the only way it can be taken back, it's got to be county by county. Everybody's got to be involved. You know, the 13 colonies, the 13 original colonies, they were all involved. Every colony was involved. Okay? Well, we have to bring it to where every state is involved. And every place there's a town, in this case, of course, we're looking at county levels, okay, because the county levels is the key. And, we have to create the committees of safety, get it going. And the committees of safety, you know, they are really built upon subcommittees, because the work is done in the subcommittees. Everybody needs to belong to a subcommittee. And there's one subcommittee that everyone that's in any other committee and everyone that ultimately is in the committees of safety that should be, And that is the committee man committee. Because the committee men are elected people. And it doesn't necessarily be required for them to be so. But it did become that way, and the founding fathers, I guess, worked that out with that. I'm not sure exactly when that actually started, but it did work out that way. The committee men represent people in their election district. And if they're going to represent them, then they probably should be elected by them. But right now, because people are not elected in the committee man process, we got people who are actually they're appointed by party bosses. Or they deceive them and created a facade, and the people think they're elected when in fact they're really not elected. They're still elected by party bosses. They're appointed. So they don't have the people that are committee men that are actually elected at this point in time. So why does it stop us from not acting as committee men? We could do the very same thing. If you get your county powerful enough and big enough, and you get a couple of hundred people, because every county has a couple of hundred committee men, roughly speaking. I know in my county it's 249 committee men. So if you get 250 people in a committee of safety, and the word goes out that, kind of mute up there. Hold on. And the word goes out that, there's a big block. And of course, look, if the Committee of Safety is is created in a county, you're going to be making contact with the local government. You're going to start off with the sheriff. Again, this is all in the plan. You can read the book and how to do this. But once you make connection with the sheriff and you're making connection with your local government, you know, the towns, the villages, and you're making connection with the county, and then you're connecting county to county to make connection on the state level, whether it's a person running for Senate or a congressman, a congressional district, or whether it's an assembly district for the state, and those kind of weave in between counties, which we have to fix that because that's all gerrymandering. It should really be county focused. But that's something we can fix in the near future after we get to the other side. But generally speaking, once we make contact as a committee within a county, they know who's controlling things and who has the power and the authority. We can act as committee men. We can walk the papers as committee men within our counties, just like these unelected people are doing anyway. We can do recalls, which is something they're not doing, because they don't want to do that. I mean, they probably would try to recall the good people if they could get away with that. But in any event, we can do the recall. We can become the committee men. So every time the election is coming around, you've made connection with all of the local governments, they're going to be coming to you for support. And eventually we should become elected committee men, if that's our desire. And I think we probably should look towards coming to that point. But maybe not. We're going to have to decide that as we go forward. With or without being elected committee men, committees of safety can act as the committee men and be much more powerful than the committee men, because we will recall. When they break their oath or they break the law, we will recall them. And if they break the law, of course, we will indict them. But so one of the subcommittees of the committees of safety is of course the committee men committee. There's the committee of correspondence. And the purpose of the Committee of Correspondence is to really communicate between the counties, between the states, so that we can work different problems and situations. So you have a committee that is focused in on that. There's the Militia Committee, whose purpose is to rebuild the militia within their county, and every county should be doing that. There is the Jury Administration Committee, which is to make sure that the four or five positions in the local court, the state court, in the county, every county has a state court. There are some exceptions, but basically every county has a state court. And we need to make sure we have four administrators and one paralegal who is also an administrator, so it's actually five administrators. But that paralegal is an important part of that whole process. So, and we have to make sure that those positions are filled. And that, of course, is a full-time paid position, because right now they do have people who pull together the juries and orientate them. And of course, they orientate them in the civil law and not in the common law. And that's where our handbooks come in. Every person who's going to be on a jury, whether it's a grand jury or a petit jury being a trial jury, they need to be fully informed. And again, that's where our handbook comes in. And we're going to do some videos, but it's going to be a lot on that handbook. So there'll be some other things that's not in the handbooks that we'll put together for orientation. But it's in the information in the handbook which is the key thing, and people should have that handbook with them and refer to it throughout their service. excuse me. let's see what else we have here. Of course, we have the Sheriff's Committee, okay, which is not only makes the initial contact with the sheriff, but also maintains that connection with the sheriff, making sure that either the sheriff or one of his deputies or some representative from the sheriff's office should be at all of our meetings. And because we need that kind of participation. And remember, you become a powerful group, and the sheriff realizes not only the authority of the people, but also realizes the support that he can get from this group. He's going to be participating with you. Because his job will depend on it. Eventually he'll realize that. Eventually we'll reflect that point if necessary, but he'll realize it. And so there has to be that kind of a committee. Also, one was brought up recently, and I just added this, and I don't know why we didn't have it, and that's an educational committee. So that's the fifth one we need to make sure that everyone has, every county has, is an educational committee to make sure that a proper education is taught to our children. And we have to be working on that in a county level to work that into every school. One of the things I'd like to do, it's going to be a little more in the future because I don't have the time right now, but I'd like to, and I spoke with Brent about this, and I think he's going to work with me on this, and maybe we'll have a few other people working with us, but is to create a good, solid curriculum for our children. I'm not sure what grades, maybe from fourth grade up to ninth grade. I believe, and I've seen this in a private school. I don't know whether I've talked about this openly on one of our Monday night programs or not, but I know I've spoke about this before. I have personal knowledge of the ability of children, if properly educated. Okay, they don't have to be special children to be able to achieve a college education by ninth grade. It's possible, very much possible. They just have to be fed the proper way from the beginning of their schooling. And that's the kind of curriculum we need to create. Every child should be able to go from first grade, or from kindergarten if necessary. I prefer just starting in first grade, but maybe kindergarten is a good place to start as far as going to school. I know it's not really healthy to bring a child into school too young. They have all these preschools, and I'm dead set against those. Because children need to be around their parents at that young age. But anyway, you got kindergarten and you got nine grades. Okay, in that period of time, there's no reason why the average child could not achieve a college education by the time they get to the end of that. You know, we have a test up on our website in 1890 or something like that. I think it was an eighth grade test, or maybe it was a ninth grade. No, it was an eighth grade test, because I think that's as far as they went. And they had college questions in there. They had questions that many people, I couldn't pass the test at the time. Of course, you look into it, you study, you can pass the test. But I couldn't pass that test when I first saw it. And we had many people we spoke to who were college educated, and they said they couldn't pass the test. So already way back 100 plus years ago, there was a far more superior education than there is today, because the elite have seized control of our educational system, and they're busy creating, communists. Our children are becoming communists. They're being taught by the New World Order, ultimately. Marxism is a big thing in school, in colleges, okay? The curriculum is destructive to a republic, and this is what our children are being taught. And they want to dumb our children down. They don't want to teach our children how to think. They want to teach our children what to think. And therein is the difference in education. And we have to really have conversations about this, think about this, and put the proper curriculum together to get our children into a proper education. I think it was George Washington that said a properly educated people could never lose their liberty and can never lose their republic. So what do you want? What's the first thing you got to do if you want to destroy a republic? Take away their education. Second thing is to demoralize them, destroy the family. And these are the things they've already done. We have to capture it back. We have to take it back. It's up to the people. Either we're going to get out there and do this or we're not. And if people think that they can have a natural law republic without becoming re-educated, because I promise you, people don't know these things unless they're learning them now, and there's very few places you can go to get this kind of an education. And I think we're pretty comprehensive. I think we cover it all, you know. But in any event, if you think you're going to have liberty, if you think you're going to have your unalienable rights and your republic, a natural law republic, without being re-educated, and B, becoming active, you're a dreamer. It's not going to happen. It's not possible. Can't happen. You can't have it. As Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. You can't have it. It's not for you to have. So education is the key to the salvation of our republic, and that's the purpose of this book, and that's why we have to push so hard. Our success, I come to realize this about 3 years ago when I started to think about writing a book. Actually, I had already almost written everything because I've been writing papers for 12 years. I've been researching, writing and for 12 years, and all I did was bring all my work together, all my research together, and put it together in a book. And and when I realized that, because we were looking for critical mass, you know, we've got just about almost 10,000 members, and we still haven't hit critical mass. It's still slow grow. And that's okay. It's good for us that it was slow grow, because if we grew too quick, we wouldn't have been able to really perform to be able to capture the people's attention enough and keep them involved and so on. But now I think we're prepared. We're ready for a critical mass, an influx. And about 3 years ago, I realized that this book is the key, to put it into a book form. I mentioned earlier, we were communicating to sheriffs with 10 fax machines. And we also had their emails. We were communicating that way, too. And it didn't go anywhere, you know. But I realized, because they first thing they did is they'd go talk to the county attorney, and they would tell them, don't pay attention to them crazies, and that was that. But some of them did read, and some of them did respond, I guess. But I did realize, you know, when people see a book, they give it a lot more value, a lot more weight than a PDF, than an email, a large PDF in an email, or something in a fax. It's in a book. It seems to mean more to them. And it could be a lot of BS in books anyway, but you know, people, the written word seems to be more powerful. And this book has over 1,600 footnotes, which means we have documented everything we're saying. So that's hard to go up against. And I believe that when a sheriff gets a hold of a book like that, okay, that he looks at that and starts to read and sees an interesting thing, first of all, things that he or she's never seen before, and coming to realize what liberty is just by reading just the beginning of the book, you know, a preface and a few other things in the beginning of the book, it'll come very quickly. And so it'll move through them, and I think it has the opportunity to capture them and to change their thinking. On top of that, we're working with sheriff to sheriff. So we're trying to organize the sheriffs. And we're not doing that directly. Really, it's the sheriff's jobs to do that. And Sheriff Dar is out there doing that with other sheriffs. They're organizing. And once we connect with them, and Sheriff Dar, again, let me go back to this this letter that Sheriff Dar wrote to them. On this letter, you know, he gives his phone number and his fax number. And it's signed with him, the Barry County Sheriff's Office, signed by the sheriff. Okay, that brings a lot of weight. So you have a book that has weight to it. You have a letter that has weight to it. And I'll talk with Sheriff Dar about maybe making contact with these sheriffs, you know, maybe an email or something. Let them know if anything we could do for you. And again, we're going to have a paper, as I mentioned, put into here to offer them education on our website. So that's one way we're going to build things. But also, to get this book, the one main reason I went through a publisher, because people are saying, why didn't you go up to Amazon? Why didn't you, you know, print it yourself? You can sell it cheaper, you can make more money, or whatever the case may be, I don't know. Well, I considered that. But what enticed me to go to a publisher is the knowledge of the people to get my book access into bookstores. I need to get it out to the general public. They got it up on Amazon already. There's a Kindle book up there already. They're selling the book right there on their site. And they are now working to get me into bookstores and libraries. Okay? That's the key to this. And when it becomes successful in certain bookstores, other bookstores will pick up and it becomes a domino thing. It just moves through the system. And that's an important thing. And that will bring us critical mass. That and getting out into getting interviewed. And we're working right now for many interviews, as many as I can get. And anybody that knows of a place to get it. I'd like to talk with places that have large memberships, large listeners. Few groups of people that listen, but we'll talk to anyone, okay? So it doesn't have to necessarily be large. So if anybody thinks that they can make contact for us to get us on to be interviewed about what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance and about the book to get this out, the book will bring in a lot of revenue also. So I think the book is pivotal and key to bringing us to critical mass. We must come to critical mass in order to have success. It has to come. It has to happen. We've been waiting for it. We've trusted that it'll come because we're doing a just thing, and we would believe that God will bless the just thing. This is his nation. We made a covenant with him via the Declaration of Independence, one nation under God, indivisible. So we made that covenant with him. And to live under his law and to receive his blessings. So we have to push this book, we have to push NLA, and we have to get active ourselves. If you're not signed up to start or to participate in a committee of safety in your county, you need to go do it now. And even if you don't want to organize it, but you get your name up there and you connect with two or three people and you can pass the responsibility of organizing it to someone else. And often that'll happen anyway, because some people, as you come together, some people are very good at organizing, and when they're recognized, they should be given that job of leading that organizing. So, and it's just what we should do anyway. But we have to get started that way. We have to get the word out. We have to get more people involved. We have to educate the people. And they have to understand it, that you cannot have liberty, you cannot have natural law, you can't have courts of justice, you can't have a controlled government by the people without having an education and being involved. And that's and this book will do that, as I mentioned. Okay, I'm going to move on from there. Let me see if there's anything else I want to look into. Gerard, do you have anything to add to this or any points to be made? All right, maybe he's away from his mic right now. Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements?
Yes, I have a good dozen for you tonight, John.
Okay, well, let's see what we can do to get through them. Keep me short.
I have a couple announcements, too. Apparently, we're right over the target because we seem to be encountering problems with the books. One person sent me a note that it was chewed on all the corners. Another one sent me a note that said she got a plastic container from NLA with nothing in it, and she was wondering what we had put in it. So maybe they...
Yeah, I don't know. If she ordered a book and she didn't get that book, then we should trace it down.
Yeah, she apparently didn't think it was a book, but it could have been.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what that is.
Anyways, first one, simple question. Can you tell me what you think justice of liberties means?
The justice of liberties?
Yes.
I know what justice means, and I know what liberty means, but justice of liberty?
Right.
I'm not sure I can understand the question. I don't know. Brent, I don't know if we... Can you unmute yourself, Brent? Maybe you can answer that. Do you understand that question?
I don't think Brent's here.
Yeah,
he is.
Up at the top.
I did mute him because his mic was open. Okay, he's unmuted himself. Can you do you understand that question? Maybe you can respond.
Justice of liberties. No, maybe not. Okay, then.
Did someone unmute him, or did he unmute himself?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
But he may
not be paying attention at the moment.
Yeah.
But let me mute him back so we don't hear what's going on in his home. Okay, I don't understand. I know, look, justice is godly, ultimately. Justice is self-evident. Justice is seen by anyone with a mind and a heart. You can see whether justice is applied or not. You know, sometimes we may have bad information, and the response to that is unjust to the individual. So of course that we have to be careful with. But justice is obvious. We know, we the people know what is just. I can tell you that the courts in their punishments of people, they're all over the place. I know of someone who shot someone in a robbery in the head, and they only got 3 years. I mean, what's going on with that? I mean, they're just all over the place. And someone else would do something not nowhere near that and get 20 years. And there's no justice in their system. And there cannot be. There cannot be justice in civil law and where the Congress tries to make legislation to, control everything, the punishments and what a crime is and everything. Common law is very simple. In order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. End of subject. There's nothing. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. But, all right, well, let's move on. And liberty, of course. Liberty is a natural law, liberty. Liberty ultimately is liberty, or being liberated ultimately from a government, where government has no control over you. They can make no law to control your behavior. That's your job. If you injure someone in not being behaved, in not doing the right thing, and you injure someone, well, common law will take care of that. A court of justice will handle that, whether it be a civil case or a criminal case, depending on whatever took place. So it's really very simple. We don't need legislation. We don't need codes and statutes and any of those things in order to make decisions in court and mete out justice, because justice can never be met out that way. I see it all day long. The injustice is constant in these courts. But anyway, that's the best I can do on a question, because I don't understand it. What's the next question?
Okay, have you ever heard of a website that is Justice of Liberties? And if so, can you comment on it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, moving ahead rapidly. Number two. I purchased 4 copies of The Government by Consent, 1 each for the sheriff, executive, district attorney, and me. I would like to recommend that everyone who purchased the book at first offering be able to support your roster for county sheriffs so we can ultimately be certain where the gaps are. Thanks. I guess that's more of a statement than a question.
Okay, yeah.
Next, is there any validity to devolution, which is fundamental and part of the government's top secret continuity of government plans?
Well, that's an interesting question. I've been looking into that, and I have come out convinced that there is. And there has got to be a plan. It is obvious. Anybody that has looked into any of these things, it's obvious that this nation can be saved no way other than to the military. This, we have been subverted by enemies, foreign and domestic. They have taken not only our federal government, they've taken over our legislators, they've taken both houses, they've taken over our White House until Trump got in there, they've taken over our courts. They're totally out of control, and it hasn't stopped there. They've taken over our governors. They've taken over our state legislators in both houses. And it goes, the justice system has been taken over. This is so big and so huge, and they got the guns. You know, they got control of everything. There is no way to save this nation, to bring it back to a place, to give it back to the people. There's no way to do it other than the military. Now, if you really want to learn about this, what devolution is about, you know, you can go to the page that I just set up under the news. Let me see, here it is, news. Matter of fact, like I said, I'm going to move this from where it's at and put it right under news. I'm going to try to get it right on the top. But if they go to the real news, I'll tell you exactly where you can learn a lot about devolution. Christian Patriot News focuses in on it, okay, very powerfully. Let's see. I think that's really the main one. The evidence is overwhelming. Let me just click on Christian Patriot News. the theory of devolution right here. This is powerful. It's 47 minutes. The man does, he's a Christian, and he does bring Christ into his information that he brings. So sort of the last half or third of his programs always gets into something scriptural, which is powerful. And people should listen in on all of it. But in any event, that's one place right here. Now, this not just in here. You know, if you go back, I'll tell you what, if you really want to catch up, you need to go back pretty far. And I would work backwards because you want to be up to date. So Q's latest perfect prediction. This was a pretty powerful program, as a matter of fact. This one, every one of this guy's programs have been pretty powerful. And he's on the inside. He also, well, getting information. I don't know that he's not getting it directly from the inside, so I'm not saying that. But he's giving out inside information that he's getting from various places. One of the places I know he's getting a lot of information from is from praying. What's that guy's name? Do you remember who that guy's name is, Francine? Praying something?
Praying Medic.
Praying Medic. Thank you, Gerard. Okay, Praying Medic. So he gets his information, some of his information there, but he's got various places, and he's pulled a lot of things together. He's done a lot of research. And he was laying out some research somebody else was doing, and he's going back and following up on all this guy's research so he can do it himself at the same time. So he talks about these things. And so if you want to find out more about devolution, whether you can agree with it or not, he makes a great case for it. And that's where I've come to my conclusions, is listening to this guy. He's got a lot of great documented work that he's doing. Next question.
Okay, this one concerns a filing that this person had done in California and suggests that we use a reference to domestic terrorism in some of our filings as it may help get their attention. He had filed a writ of trespass on the case, and if you go down a little ways, it says inculpatory evidence of ceaseless harassment due to the reporting of domestic terrorism, and then starts in Exhibit AB, and felt that just the reference of domestic terrorism was enough to get their attention and get things moving.
Yeah, but they're not going to conclude, right, not in this environment. It's very rare to get justice in these courts. They will be doing everything they can to prevent justice from happening, and occasionally it does happen, but generally it doesn't. And trespassing on the case, we've used that position quite often. The fact that we've been hijacked to jurisdictions unknown, we've built into all of our cases, and a lot of other strategies we've used. So we're kind of on the same page. But again, we're dealing with evil. These people, there's something wrong with these people. I think generally they got something on these people. They're blackmailed, or they got a gun to their head, because they just do not want to give justice in these courts. They just refuse to give it. And so it's an uphill battle. We don't plan on winning anything in court on this side. This is all, everything we're doing, everything we're building is for the case on the other side. Because we've got so much evidence, when we can get into a court of justice where the people rule, the people decide. You know, either we are going to have trial by government, or we're going to have trial by the people. One or the other. And when we get to the other side, it will be trial by the people. And then justice will come. The people will decide. The people will hear. And the people will decide justly. As long as they are fully informed. And again, that is where our handbook comes in for the jurist, fully informed jurist. I think I answered the question. Read the question real quick again.
Well, this person was...
Well, no, you don't have to. I realize now. No, I think we pretty much hit it as much as we can. So.
Okay. Next question. The phrase, consent of the governed. Who are the governed? Is it we the people, or is it those who swear an oath in public office? This may be a good question for Brent.
Well, consent of the governed. We are the governed, but we have government by consent. So, look, we have given our government the ability to govern us, to govern our things, and we've laid out their authorities. In Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, we've given them 18 powers, ultimately, to the legislators, and they cannot come outside of that. And so they're governing our commercial activities. They're governing our government offices, agencies. You know, and that's why we have, I think it's 57 codes out there. Each one of these codes apply to a different agency or to commercial activity. Okay, there's also illegal commercial activity, and they control all that. But when it comes to anything beyond that, okay, that's the governing that we've given them the power to do it on the federal level. And on the state level, it's very similar to the same thing, only except the commercial activities within the state. And the government agencies, of course, are the state government agencies, which include all the way down to the town and the village, goes right up to the county and into the state. So we've given them the power to govern us, to govern those agencies, but not to govern the people per se. You know, in the sense of writing legislation to control our behavior. That, of course, is civil law. That, of course, brings us right back to Babylon or Roman law, Justinian law, all the same thing. So just a different name over the years to try to get rid of the stigmatism on it, the stigma on it, and just put it down to the people. So it's also called municipality law. I mentioned that earlier, too. So, anyway, I guess that's it.
Okay. Is there anywhere on NLA's website that provides concise instructions on writing and presenting resolutions for Committee of Safety members to compose?
Yes, under on our page right here. Everything you need to do for these things, and if anybody... discover something that we missed and say, hey, we're doing this here and you guys should do it, we'll look at it, and if we agree, we'll put it up there. And the chances are, a lot of different, like education, you know, I didn't think of creating a committee for education and make that as part of the process. So we have to add that in. It's a very important part to make sure our children are educated properly. I mean, we've always thought about taking control to bring the education back, but it really needs to be done on a grassroots level. People have to be involved. But we have to find some good curriculum, and I think we're going to have to create, when it comes to, you know, law particularly, and common law, and our heritage, you know, we have to write it, because there's nobody else out there doing it correctly. They haven't really dug deep enough into it. But we need to get a proper education, so. Read that question one more time.
Is there anywhere on NLA's website that provides concise instruction?
Okay. People's duty, right under people's duty, everything in here ultimately is instructions. But if you go to the handbook, okay, click on handbooks, and you click on Committee of Safety, you have the Committee of Safety charter. You need a charter. Every county Committee of Safety needs a charter. They need a resolution. The people have to take a vow. Let me just jump onto the vow. Here is the vow. I, and we're doing this as a sworn statement, and I think it's important that we swear our vows. I, whatever your name is, a fiend, being of lawful age, qualified and competent, take the following vow as member of the county committee, or a member of the Committee of Safety. I vow to the governor of the universe, in my capacity as a member of the Committee of Safety, to serve, protect, and uphold the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and to carry out all of my duties to serve the communities, community principled under justice, honor, and mercy. And so that's an important thing I think we all have to do, and that should be registered in the county. The vows should be registered in their counties and held by the committee. But we do have, ultimately, that covers all this stuff, is this Committee of Safety Handbook. Okay, 74 pages, step-by-step information on how to create a Committee of Safety, the first thing to do, the first meetings, the things, the certain subjects you want to cover, you know, and stay on. And then at some point, you know, there's a whole bunch of other things that we're offering for people to learn, and you can use that, put that together any way you want. But in the beginning, we really got to focus on information and education that will assist, you know, our building of our committees of safety. But here is everything you need to know, everything about the Committee of Safety. I think it's pretty comprehensive. I don't think we missed anything, but of course we could have. And if someone brings that to our attention, we'll make that correction and addition. Next question.
I received John's email today requesting us to bring out book questions to tonight's meeting. I'd like to know if the second book I purchased was mailed or will be to my county sheriff in Solano County, California. I'm already having a hard time connecting with the sheriff, and I would rather not appear to be incompetent.
Well, look, I'm going to strongly suggest not to approach your sheriff until you get your Committee of Safety going. Get at least a half a dozen or a dozen people going, start through the process of putting things together, and then approach the sheriff. We give detailed information very specifically on how to approach the sheriff and what is necessary to approach the sheriff with. You want to approach your sheriff with the understanding that you've created a Committee of Safety. You got to tell them what his purpose is. So that's the resolution. And the let's take a quick look at this. That is the charter and the resolution. Okay, that will lay out, excuse me, that will lay out the positioning of the Committee of Safety, what your intentions are and how you're going about it. When he looks at these things, okay, and remember, you know, National Liberty Alliance, when the books go out, that sheriff knows that they're coming from National Liberty Alliance. So if these committees of safety are being assisted by National Liberty Alliance, remember, we at National Liberty Alliance are not controlling the committees of safety. They're all on their own. We do list them out up on our website, and if we do find that a committee of safety goes rogue, okay, then we'll cut them off. And we'll look to rebuild a new Committee of Safety. We have to do things justly. And there are certain things we have to do, a framework of putting this thing together and an attitude, putting this thing together. We have to be consistent in every county. Beyond that, we all have our own certain problems and situations we have to deal with. But you want to get your charter together. You need to get your resolution together, and you need to be putting things together on the committees of safety. I forget exactly what part. I think maybe by the third meeting you could probably have contact with the sheriff. But you have to accomplish certain goals before you contact the sheriff. So that's number one. Now, the other thing is, what was that? Is this the one we're asking where the book is? Did the book get to the sheriff? Yeah, that's what, part of the question. The books to the sheriff have not gone out yet. We only had 100 books. 100 books went out. A couple of people didn't get them yet. They're going to go out on the next wave. We're looking to order quite a few hundreds of books. I've negotiated a price. They agreed to lower the price considerably. So when you buy a book, you know, I can buy 3 books for the price of 1 book. So we're selling the book for the book price, but a lot more books are going to go out to people that need to get books, whether they be sheriffs or whether they be individuals that are in places that can benefit National Liberty Alliance. And eventually even to people in different offices, in government offices. We, of course, send a book to Donald Trump and various other individuals. So anyway, we're in negotiation. I was expecting a price last Monday, and they got back to me, and they wanted more information on shipment and so on and so forth. So they're really working out a good price for the book, just for 3,000. I'm trying to get them as low as I can on 3,000 books, so that we can buy as many as we can and get them out to the sheriffs. So that's what I'm working on right now, and I haven't heard back from them. I got a call into them this morning because I haven't heard from them over this past week, with an actual number and. Once I get that number, we're going to purchase a couple of hundred, 200-300 books, whatever we can get, and start getting the books out. We've got books going out, I think it's 86 sheriffs, and I think there's other people mixed in there. There's other individuals, that in government that people want to send a book to. So that comes to 86. And now we have my last... I gave my last report. I think we've got another 20 books going out to sheriffs, something like that. So there's about 100 books going out to sheriffs, and they'll be going out as soon as I get them. There was another problem or situation. Someone went out there and they saw Powered by PayPal. Let me get to this place. We go to Government by Consent book, click on that. Okay, click here to order the book. And you go directly to my publisher. And this is right to my page where you can purchase the book. So if you add a book to the cart, okay, and then you proceed here to this area, and it says PayPal checkout. Well, someone thought that they have to have a PayPal account in order to check out. That's not what this is saying. You can use Visa, MasterCard, Amex, or Discovery. This is just powered by PayPal. They're using, I guess, their connection to make the payments and transfer funds and whatever it is that they're doing. Okay, so you can click on PayPal and check out through PayPal if your PayPal account, or you can use a Visa, MasterCard, Amex, or Discovery. And they do have a place in here, I'm pretty sure I saw, or check out with multiple, no, that's not it. I think I saw in here, I thought I saw in here a place where you can do a check also. But I'm not seeing that right now, so I'm not sure whether they could do a check. But I think you can. In any event, I want people to realize you don't need PayPal to purchase this book. So don't get confused on that. But I understand they are shipping right now. If you go out here order a book, they'll ship it. So... Okay, next question.
Okay, this is kind of part of the same question, actually. Last I checked, the book purchase did not indicate that I had purchased a second book for the sheriff. Can I get clarification online, or is this something that should be addressed during tonight's meeting?
I'm not. When did they do this? Do we know? This was done in the...
This was the one, have you sent one to Solano County, California?
Okay. So if they did this in the pre-orders, you know, when we were didn't have, you know, the book was not published yet, and we were taking pre-orders, and people were buying books for their sheriffs back then. If that they're talking about that, then yes, the book went out, should have gone out to them, and the book going to their sheriff will be going out when we get our next shipment. Now, for anybody, and I hope people don't get confused by this, if you're going to buy a book, you go here to buy a book, a government by consent. But if you're going to buy a book for your sheriff, you go to this page, donate to the Campaign for Constitutional Sheriffs. Now, when you go in here to check out, okay, and add to cart, you get to select the quantity of books. You want to donate one book, two books, three books. We've had some people who donated three books, and we've had people who donated two books. You check out how many books. If you check out two, you're going to go to two sheriffs. We're going to send a book to the sheriff in your county, okay? And if that sheriff's already got a book, it's going to go to another sheriff in your state. And the other book will go to a sheriff in your state, okay? And if that state is filled up and we've got all the books to all those sheriffs, well, then we'll just go to the state next door and give it to the sheriffs there. The campaign is not about just getting your sheriff. We've got to stop thinking that way. It's not about just getting your sheriff. Of course, you do want your sheriff to get a book, but it's about getting all the sheriffs. And again, I'm going to reiterate my fear. My fear is if I start listing, and I have to spend time to list this out, because remember, I've got all the labels printed out. If I go for a label and it's not there, I know the sheriff's got one, I go to the one next door to it, and that's that. Now, I may start to make a list of the sheriffs as we go, but I don't want to post them because I fear that some people, and probably way too many people, will look at that list. Ah, my sheriff's got one. I'm not gonna donate. I don't want people to think that way. We got to get them all. One sheriff is not enough. We need 3,000 sheriffs. We need every sheriff. They need to come together and work. They need to become educated. They need to be one mind. They need to become natural law minds. You know, they got to know the common law. And that's the focus. And Sheriff Darr will be working to communicate and get these sheriffs together, because they have to get together not only statewide but national. You know, sheriffs are together in the statewide level, but they're controlled by civil law, by attorneys, by the bar ultimately. Believe me, behind their control is the bar. Their thinking is all bar. Okay? And we need to get them free from that. And they need to run their own organization as sheriffs for the state. They need to come together nationally also. Boy, let me tell you something. We would be well protected if all the sheriffs would have come together on a national level in one accord with one mindset, focusing in on common law. Game over. Okay? And that's what we got to get to. So, next question.
Okay, this is kind of run into stuff you've answered already, and that's, is there a list that indicates what sheriffs have received thus far?
Right, pass on that one. We'd already talked. Go ahead.
And then also, when will the government by consent book orders be fulfilled?
Well, again, you know, on my end, and I'm not handling book orders no more. I'm only handling sheriff orders. Anybody buying a book needs to go directly to the publisher. And again, on our front page, and I'm going to make this much more clear on our right-hand side of our website, but if you go to our front page, okay, right here in the very beginning, donate to our Campaign for Constitutional Sheriffs to Save Our Republic. Click on that. You can see on the right side we have the same thing, but I got to make it clear on the right side so it's on every page. And you come right back here to where you buy the book for your sheriff. And again, it's sheriff to sheriff. That's an important fact. Sheriff to sheriff. The sheriff is introducing the book. Let me read this letter. This is my fourth term as sheriff of Barry County, Michigan. I've said for many years that every passing generation, our Constitution gets more and more diluted. It is now to the point that the current college generations recognize communism more than our own republic. Even the law enforcement community does not get training on the Constitution. Instead, we push our law enforcement families through an academy based in case law from activist judges. We the people need the tools to restore the republic and government by consent. Restore the republic and government by consent is a must read and study guide to attain that goal. So get your notebooks and your highlighters out and arm yourself with tools to bring back common law constitution. When we do this, the whole world will follow. Amen. I agree 1,000%. Signed, Sheriff Darleaf, Barry County, Michigan. And he gives his phone number and fax. This is where we have to put our time. And when this book explodes, I'm going to be going on lots of interviews. And I'll be interviewed anywhere people will talk to me. And when this book explodes, and I do believe it's going to explode in the patriotic movements, okay, then we're going to hit critical mass, and then we're going to achieve the goals we want. We're then going to, power will be in the people, and we'll be creating committees of safety. It's up to us to get it started right now. But we need to get this in every county. Next question.
Okay, the sheriffs are working under a Dun & Bradstreet number as a for-profit corporation, enforcing their corporate rules, codes, statutes, and regulations, and so forth. Is this in the book?
Well, it's not in the book specifically, but we're taking a positive approach to this. We don't want to, draw a line in the sand, and the sheriff starts reading something and just pushes it away. People have their mindset, and when something is contrary to their thinking, all too often they push it away. They're closed-minded. And by nature, it seems that, maybe it is by nature we're closed-minded, but definitely society presses us into being closed-minded. But we want to approach them in a positive way. We do tell the truth. We don't play games with the truth. I haven't brought anything up in the book concerning that. But before we bring the things that may be a conflict in their own minds, we first want to build a base. The book is written in a very, I think it's written in a very positive way. It's written in a way that really expounds and really portrays the truth. And again, with over 1,600 footnotes laying out where this information comes from, documenting the facts of these things. George Washington said this, and Jefferson said that, and this is where common law comes from, and so on and so forth. It's all documented. So that's powerful there. We have to change the minds of the sheriffs that are under the civil law thinking. And Sheriff Darr hit it on the point right here. Okay, we're falling further and further away. Truth is empowering. Truth is self-evident. And if you have someone reading it that you haven't drawn a line with them, but you have someone looking at something that they've never seen before, that they've never considered before, that they never thought about before, and they say, wow. And it's documented. It's absolute truth. It is who we are as a people. It's our heritage. It's our relationship with our Creator to the Declaration of Independence. And where common law comes from. It comes from the Bible. And this is who we are. This is our heritage. It cannot be denied. And we accept everyone. It doesn't matter what religion you are. That's irrelevant. If you're willing to live under this kind of a way of being, of government, then you can become a citizen and participate, or you can decide to, if you already are a citizen, to participate or not. But anybody who would deny justice or deny the common law courts, again, that they'd have a wrong kind of a mindset, like communism or Marxism, Nazism. All this is problematic to who they are. But anyway, next question.
Last question, John. This person went to the website, clicked on buy a book, went to Dorrance and ordered a book. And then because they advertised they had government by consent in stock. So he ordered a copy, and they emailed him a receipt stating that the order is awaiting fulfillment. Should he cancel his order?
No, it just means that the order is on its way. Look, I go to Amazon all the time, and I buy a lot from Amazon, and I get a letter that we've received the order, and it's being fulfilled. And then when they ship, they send me another email telling me it shipped. That's all they're doing. They're saying, okay, we got your order, we got your money, and it's in the line of process, and maybe it'll go out tomorrow, depending on how busy they are, and usually is the next day. And then you'll get communications that it's been shipped. So it's coming, and this is where, if you want to buy the book, that's where you got to go. I was handling the books myself, and I don't get that much of a break when I sell them myself. And when I really put it all together, the amount of work involved in making these labels and getting the packaging and taking it down to the mail. And you know, when I took the mailing down, I took 100 books and one shot. And they were just going so slow. And I said, look, can I come back later and pay for this? Or I'm leaving my card or something. I had to sit around for about an hour and a half just on 100 books, maybe even longer, 2 hours. And, you know, it consumes a lot of my time, and I just can't handle it. I just can't. So it's much more expedient for me to just have them ship directly from Dorrance, and that works out best. So that's what we're doing. Again, I'm handling the sheriffs only because I did contact them and ask them, well, look, we're doing a sheriff's campaign. I'd like to handle those orders differently. I want to insert a letter and some other information and packaging and so on. And they were not interested in doing that. And I didn't even get into trying to get the reduced price for the sheriffs. So then I said, well, okay, I'm going to handle the sheriffs. So I'll handle the sheriffs. I'll just have to deal with it. But once those 3,000 books are out, I'm not going to be selling books directly myself at all, period. Either get them in bookstores, get them up on Amazon, get them at Dorrance. I prefer going to Dorrance because I get more of a profit from that. And of course, it's going to support me as a person. It's my work. But most of that money is going to end up right here in NLA, as most of my money for the past X amount of years has already ended up in NLA. And it was only about a year or so ago that we actually came out of the red and into the black. But prior to that, it was all me. I put out the money for everything. And it's not important for me to recoup that money, but it is important to me to be able to pay for my life, my family, my food, and so on. But the amount of money that's potential on this book can really make a huge difference to the operations here at National Liberty Alliance. And we're also looking, of course, for more donations as our membership grows. And there's other sources of money's potential we're looking for. And we're hoping very soon that NLA is going to explode. And even the website we have won't even be able to handle, I do believe this, won't be able to handle what we potentially are going to have. And so we're going to have to redevelop another website to be able to handle everything we're planning to do. And we need people working that are paid, so eventually there will be paid people. Some people send me a letter or something, talk to me as if, you know, I know you're busy, this, that, and the other thing, but why don't you have your secretary do it? I don't have a secretary. I'm the secretary. You know, we do have people handling different things, but we're spread out all over the United States. I don't have an office where I go and work with one or two or three more people to do these things. Everything that gets out, I do, okay, from National Liberty Alliance, or mailings, everything. And so I don't have a secretary to ask my secretary to do anything. Hopefully soon we'll have a secretary so that we can deal with that and really service much better. But until then, I have people in prison wanting things done, and we can't do nothing for them. I don't have the ability to make contact, communicate, and even try to understand their cases. You know, sometimes people send me papers for courts as thick as an inch or two deep high. You know, I mean, I haven't got time to read that. That's not what National Liberty Alliance is doing. You know, we do deal with cases. We do have certain things. People, we do habeas corpuses for people. We do non-judicial foreclosures, whether it's tax or mortgage companies, and various other cases. But generally speaking, we have that sort of in a a structured process all set up to go forward, and we have people who have volunteered their time to do most of that paperwork and mail it out. But it's all volunteer, and eventually we'd want it to be paid, but we don't have the money yet. Maybe one day someone with a lot of money may turn around and give us a lot of money to do these things. Anybody out there listening, feel free. We'll take your check. Anyway, that's the last question. Jan, did I lose you? He's muted. Jan, you're muted if you're talking. Yep, maybe Jan walked away. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move to Brent. And Gerard, are you ready to take the controls here? Well, have I been abandoned?
You're abandoned. Yeah, I am.
I don't know if you want to add anything to these things before we move over to Brent.
No, I'm good. Okay. I lost my train of thought, but I don't know if it'll come back. Anyway.
Okay. Brent, are you ready? Take the mic for a while. And Gerard, I'm passing things over to you. Jan, are you back?
I think so. I've been dropped okay. 4 times tonight so far.
Okay.
That was
all right. Well, that was the last question, right? And there's no more announcements?
No.
Okay. We're going to go to Gerard. You got the controls, and Brent looks like he's unmuted now. Brent, you got the mic for a while. You ready to go with that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is Brent Allen Winters. He's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, it's all yours.
My thank you very much. This is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www. That's www.commonlawyer.com. And National Liberty Alliance, of course, has allowed me to say a few words. They've been doing this for quite a few years. I suppose they don't object to everything I say, but what I say is my comments and may or may not be the opinion or the point of view of John or Gerard or any of the other leadership. There are very, very many levels of leadership in National Liberty Alliance, but I'll tell you what I found out and about some things. What I want to talk about this evening is the posse comitatus. Posse comitatus. During the late 16th century, English speakers shortened the Latin words posse comitatus to the word posse, for short, abbreviation. What is the posse comitatus? Well, the word posse is the same root from which we take the word possibility. Possibility. Maybe some of you remember this from your catechism, when people ask the question, was it possible for Jesus Christ to sin? And the Latin phrase was non posse, non precari. And the answer is, it's not possible for Jesus Christ to sin. And then there were 3 other possibilities, all of them in Latin, but they all use the word posse. Not possible not to sin, possible not to sin. I don't remember all of them. I wasn't catechized with that, but I'm familiar with it. That's the word posse. It was a word of St. Thomas Aquinas in his writings. The writings of Aquinas. Posse. Posse comitatus. Posse means possibility. Possible power. Power, let's put it this way, power under control. Power under control. And comitatus is the old Latin word for county. County. Posse comitatus is the possible, or the potential, let's put it that way, the potential power of the county. What is the potential power of the county? And historically, it's been every able-bodied male, able-bodied to bear a weapon and shoot or wield a sword, or in one case, and this happened in my county, when I was growing, I was a young fellow, but it happened. Motorcycle gang come blowing through a little settlement, a village in the county down Route 1, headed for a a drinking brawl down in the Wabash Bottoms. They were from the big city. They stopped a little one little diner in this little village. One family mom and pop operation. They come roaring in on their 74 Harleys. That's 74 cubic inch, for those of you that don't remember. Rattling the window panes in the little diner there. The lady of the diner, the woman, the wife, saw them coming, thought it might be a good idea just to shut down for the evening, lock the door. Well, they were loaded for frolic, probably drunk, don't know, but they got mad, pounded on the door. One of them was dumb enough to kick the glass out of the bottom of the door and put glass into her leg. Well, in the meantime, her husband, the proprietor of the property, was on the phone back in the kitchen ringing up the local yokels. And they arrived fast. Word was spread fast through the old party lines. When the ladies got on the phones, men left their houses with instructions to their wives to call other men and bring their 12 gauges. Boy, it was no time flat. Those motorcycle boys were surrounded by men with 12 gauge shotguns. This really happened back in 1974. It's called the 1974 biker incident. I didn't thought about it recently. I got on the internet and see if there's anything written about it. I did find one obscure website, but I talked to the fellows. I wasn't there, but I talked to some of the fellows that were there. Well, somebody got on the horn. On the line got Sheriff Red Simpson. Sheriff Red Simpson. Of course, they called him Red because he was redheaded. He showed up. He was an older fella. He'd probably in his 50s at that time. He showed up with his deputies pretty quick. He hightailed it from the county seat down there. And he took control of the situation. All these men standing around with shotguns and these bikers in the middle. Well, one fella showed up with a deer hunting bow, one young fella. And one of the deputy that told him this, told me this. He told me this is what he told this kid. He said, he thought he was outgunned. He said, you get on top of that cinder block, well, that old abandoned cinder block building across the road. And don't do anything until I tell you. And so, of course, the kid, he climbed up on top of the cinder block. And then the Sheriff Red Simpson, told the rest of them, said, you fellas do what I tell you. Don't do nothing unless I tell you. Just stand fast, stand tight, and stand around. And he did. And so Sheriff Red approached the bikers and said, you gotta get out of town forthwith. I think you're outgunned, boys. Just leave. Well, they all fired up their Harleys, except two. And they went hightailing down the road south in their Crawford County. They hightailed it down the road, and two of them stayed there, and one of them declared, they were both on their bikes, and they had not started their bikes yet. One of them told the sheriff and the rest of the deputies they were going to come back and they were going to burn down the whole damnable town. That's what he said. They were going to burn down the whole damnable town. And then he raised up on the Kickstarter of his 74 Harley. And just as he came down on the Kickstarter, one of the men had his 12-gauge pointed at the center wheel sprocket of the rear tire and pulled the trigger, and the blast drove center, of course, disabled the bike, knocked him over, filled his buttocks full of buckshot. He went over on his side in the gravel drive, got up, limping, tried to get on the other fella's bike, who had kick-started his, got on it, and they went barreling down the road like driving like Yahoo. Well, word got back later that he had hobbled into a doctor's office in Crawford County, the next county south, with really a little more hurt than his pride. But that was many years ago, 1974. That had been 46, 47 years ago, something like that. And they haven't been back since. Nobody burned down the village of West Union. That's the name of the village, West Union, south of the county seat. That was the posse. That's the posse comitatus. The posse assembled. The sheriff took charge. Now, whether or not, I don't think Sheriff Red Simpson told whoever did it. I don't remember. I just remember who it was fired the blast into the rear wheel socket, but it was well deserved, and he was pretty belligerent, and he was cured of his contempt, of course, with that shotgun blast, and he left. But that's the posse comitatus, the potential power of the county. Well, federal provisions, you know, the posse comitatus is a subset of the militia of the state. The posse comitatus is a subset of the militia of the state wherein the posse of the power of the county is. You don't join the posse comitatus. If you're an able-bodied male, you are the posse comitatus, whether you like it or not. Well, Title 42 of the United States Code extends the authority of the President of the United States to summons, the president has it according to the Constitution, to summons the state militia or any part of it or any part of a state militia. The governor has the same power. They are concurrent. They concurrently have that power. At the same time, whoever summons the militia of the state or any part of it first, the president or the governor of the state, has control of it. That's the rule that has developed in America. Well, this is the posse, though. The governor has the power to summon the state militia, to muster the state militia. And the idea is the same as the sheriff has to summons the posse comitatus. Federal provision, Title 42, United States Code, extends the authority to summons the posse comitatus, the posse, from the sheriff to the United States magistrate judge, when necessary, to enforce his orders. Let me read that provision. That's from United States Code. Persons so appointed, that's a magistrate judge, shall have authority to summon and call to their aid the bystanders or posse comitatus. They call them bystanders or posse, same thing, of the proper county, the county that this provision is applicable to, wherever the need is, and also may summon such portions of the land or naval forces of the United States or of the militia of the state as may be necessary to the performance of the duty with which they are charged. Now, I question the constitutionality of that because it says it gives authority to a magistrate judge to summon the militia. I don't believe that that's possible. As a matter of law, that's unconstitutional, clearly. The only federal office holder that has authority to muster the militia of the several states or any parts of them or any particular militia of any state is the President of the United States and the governors. As far as I know, this hasn't been tested. But if they really do, anybody who has that authority, such as the President, has the authority to punish those that do not answer the summons and muster. Almost every United States state provides statutory authority for sheriffs to summon the posse comitatus, the power of the county, on pain of penalty, fine, or jailing, depending upon the state. In many states, law prescribes civil and criminal penalties for able-bodied men who shirk posse duty when called. Here's what it says in South Carolina. I'm reading the statute from the state of South Carolina. Any person refusing to assist as one of the posse shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, and upon conviction shall be fined not less than $30 and not less than $100 or imprisoned for 30 days. And for resisting posse service in New Hampshire, you can be fined up to $20. Now that's a misdemeanor. These are old provisions that have not been updated according to the inflation of the dollar. but it is a misdemeanor. It carries a fine or a jail sentence. Sheriff Darr, of which John spoke just a minute ago, told me that in his county, it's a misdemeanor. He didn't tell me how much it was, but I know it's a misdemeanor. Baltimore, Maryland, the year 1968, and those of you that are old enough remember. You remember. We've seen all this before. Antifa, all that, just different labels. The same filthy, stupid, ugly, destructive stuff was going on in the 1960s. Remember, they were race riots. They were burning down towns. Students were burning down buildings on university campuses. And following a Baltimore riot, a race riot in the year 1968, 400 lawsuits were filed against the city of Baltimore seeking compensation for damages because the police failed to suppress the unrest. Just like we saw in Seattle. Damages in the cities, Portland, other cities. Same thing happened here. Lawsuits were filed, they filed against the city. The city government. The city expected another 1,500 lawsuits and sought, because of that, a declaratory judgment arguing that it was not liable for any failures of the Baltimore Municipal Police, which was an agency of the state of Maryland, over which the city of Baltimore had no law enforcement authority. They said, hey, we're not liable. We got 400 suits against the city of Baltimore. We expect another 1,500 from shopkeepers, property owners, who lost their property, burned, windows busted out, inventory stolen. Well, the Maryland Court of Appeals rejected the city of Maryland's arguments. As an independent city, and therefore a county equivalent, they said, the city was responsible and still in the possession of ability to summon what? Here's what the court said, I'm quoting, the power of the county. The power of the county. What's the Latin word? The posse, comitatus. What's it shortened to in America? We just call it the posse. The able-bodied males of the vicinage, of the jurisdiction, of the county, of the city. The Court of Appeals said you could have summoned the posse to stop this madness, this violence, this unrest, this breach of the peace, and you still had possession of the ability to do it. That right had never been explicitly repealed, said the court, by any statute, and therefore remained part of our common law. That's what it said. Now listen to the court. We are therefore of the opinion that the powers associated with that of the conservator of the peace, and the power to form a posse comitatus, which is included in the power of a conservator of the peace, where powers available for employment by the city through the mayor, should the exercise of reasonable diligence have dictated that they should be used. That's what the court said. That's the posse comitatus. Is the posse comitatus outdated? Has it ever been outdated? No, Sheriff Darr told me. I didn't know this. Sheriff Darr told me he's got 25 posse members, full-time, uniformed, carrying weapons, gone through safety courses, have the power of arrest, and he doesn't pay them a dime. They volunteer. They've had an active, what we call an active posse comitatus in that county in Michigan since 1955. He didn't form it. It's always been there. We were talking about Sheriff Papire. What was that sheriff out there? Somebody knows. They'll tell me and text me. But he was sheriff of Maricopa County. Maricopa, that's Phoenix and surrounding areas. I think, see, Maricopa takes in Prescott as well. Arpaio. Thank you very much. I got a text to tell me. Arpaio throws me a little. A good man. He had thousands, not hundreds, not 25. Sheriff Darr is in a rural county. He had thousands of men signed up on his rolls as available active members of the posse comitatus, and he used them constantly. And I found that I was recently in another Western California, that's about as far west as you can get. I know, they're left wing, left coast, left wing, wing, wackoni. But I just talked to a fellow who's a member of the posse in a rural county there. Been member of the posse 43 years, has power of arrest, carries a sidearm, and provides his own uniform, his own sidearm. Why? How could anybody intelligently argue against volunteers and community service folk that want to help the sheriff and keep the peace and are willing to be trained and willing to obey the orders of the sheriff, fall under his authority? Listen, posse comitatus, there's more wrapped up in the history and the etymology of a word than there is in the history of a military campaign, and that's true of the word posse. The word posse, again, means possibility. A synonym is potential. In the Anglo-Saxon tongue, the word is can, C-A-N. Can doesn't mean you do, means you have the ability to do it if called upon, but more than that, the word posse means that that ability is under lawful authority, under restraint, under lawful authority. Posse, that's the Greek word, or the Latin word. Can, C-A-N, is the English word. What's the Greek word in the New Testament? Watch this one close. You've heard this one. Dunamis. Dunamis. What do we say in English? Have we borrowed that word? You bet we have. What is it? Dynamite, as they say in the Wabash Valley, dynamite. Why did Noble call it dynamite, not dynamite? He called it that because, remember, that's the equivalent of possibility, of can, of ability, of potential power. In other words, latent and not patent. Latent, that means not shown yet. It's there, but not shown yet. In the New Testament, speaking of the power of God, God, his power is under his control. He only reveals it when he wants to. It's dunamis. Dynamite is that way too. It's power only revealed at the control of the blaster. That's why Alfred Noble called it dynamite. He was making nitroglycerin. It got so that it was not under anybody's control. No matter how much they tried to control it, it went off. He was producing it at a factory in Stockholm, Sweden. The whole caboodle, the factory, all the men in it and folk around it blew up. The city fathers said, if you're going to make that stuff, you're going to have to do it outside the city limits. So he built a large barge, and he had his factory on a barge out in the bay so it wouldn't hurt anybody. He kept producing it because it was very useful if he could get it to people. But people were still getting killed unnecessarily. People would take, it was a greasy substance, they'd rub it into the leather in their boots, and then they'd kick a rock and their foot would blow off. True story, this really happened a lot. Or they'd say, hey, this is good grease, and they'd pull the wagon off a horse, the wheel off a horse-drawn wagon, and rub it like a substitute for axle grease. And they'd put the wheel back on and say, giddy up, and the whole blasted wagon would blow out from under them. And then the factory blew up, and he said, I got to do something different. And so he took that nitro. He finally soaked it in clay, a certain kind of clay he discovered around there, and he found out if it was soaked in clay, it was inert. It would only go off at the will of the blaster. You could light that stuff on fire and it wouldn't blow up. You could pound it with a hammer as long as it's in that clay and it wouldn't blow up. And he sent his salesmen all over the world standing on street corners doing these kinds of things, hitting it with hammers, lighting it on fire, and it burned like a candle and never blow up. It was under the control. It was latent, not patent. It had the ability to blow up, but it was under the control of the blaster. Well, the posse comitatus is not the posse comitatus, and this is my point, unless it's under the control of lawful authority. Who is the lawful authority over the posse comitatus? At common law, in America, all over, it is the sheriff. The sheriff. He is the one that has the power. And all these other people that the statute, for example, that federal statute, that's clearly, in my mind, unconstitutional. This is the sheriff that has that power, not some federal magistrate, not the president, not the governor. The governor can, and the president can, summons and muster the militia, which includes members, of course, in the county. But the power of the county, for that purpose, belongs to the sheriff, and the sheriff alone, as a matter of clear, established law since before King Alfred the Great. You know, America is the only country in the world that has sheriffs. Oh, England has sheriffs. That's where it came from. But those sheriffs in England, the only job they have is to throw a big banquet every year like the Republicans do for a Lincoln Day dinner. That's all they do. Connecticut, of course, they've done away with their sheriffs. Pennsylvania has reduced the power of the sheriff to a nubbin. All they can do there is, I think, serve legal papers on people. Alaska never had sheriffs. Never did. Neither did Hawaii. Now, Hawaii has something like a sheriff. That's another story. But the bottom line is, most all America has sheriffs, and we are the only common law country in the world of which there are only five major common law countries. All the rest of the world is under the law of the city. There's only five under the law of the land, the law of the city, the Code of Justinian, the Code of Babylon, the civil and canon laws of Rome govern every country in the world. Only five common law countries. Of those, really, only one country has the sheriff. And here's really the amazing, uncanny thing about the sheriff in America. The sheriff in America has not changed, has been established here in the same form, with the same function. No differences substantively are recognizable between the sheriff in America and the sheriff of ninth century England, during the time of King Alfred the Great, and probably going back hundreds of years before. But we don't know, because King Alfred the Great, with his Welsh scribe Asher, was the first to put the English tongue into writing. So we have records from his kingship forward to read about. We don't have much to read about before that, so we don't know, but it is reasonable and likely to assume the sheriff existed even before that, with the same powers he has in America today, substantially. William Blackstone points this out in his commentaries about sheriffs. Unchanged since Anglo-Saxon days, that's before the Norman invasion of 1066. And he points out there were other the coroner also, unchanged. The coroner is second in command under the sheriff. In command, that means if something happens to the sheriff, the coroner has authority to fulfill the offices of the sheriff. The offices, the sheriff has many offices. The other thing I want to say real quick, the sheriff, unlike a police officer of a city, is not a bureaucrat. The police officer of a town or of a city is a bureaucrat. That means he was hired at the will of a mayor or somebody, a manager, and he is bound, utterly bound, tightly by regulations. As a bureaucrat, he has no discernment. No discernment. He must stay within the tight binding of the regulations he lives by. Period. A sheriff, by contrast, has discernment. If he sees somebody that he could arrest for a crime, he doesn't have to if he doesn't think it keeps the peace. That's the difference. He's a peace officer. What is his number one duty? To maintain the peace of his county. What is peace? What is peace? It is the order of the law. The order of the law. Is it the policeman's duty to maintain the peace? No. What's his duty? To enforce the law, and he has no discretion whether he does it or doesn't do it. If certain things happen and certain things fit a particular statute, he has a bounden duty to do something, to do what the regulations tell him to do. A sheriff isn't like that. I have done things. I remember growing up in the county. I pulled up one time to a stop sign. Snow was on the ground, driving a 63 Chevy, four-door sedan with a straight six. It was the first car I ever had. I pulled up to the stop sign, and I stopped, small town, and I hit the gas. And as soon as I hit the gas, I did a donut right in the middle of the intersection. And there sat the sheriff's deputy. And I just pointed, my car was pointing in a certain direction. I saw he was looking at me. He caught my eye. He smiled at me. And he waved. And he followed me. He stopped me. He said, "You're all right, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know that it's not lawful to do what you just did, don't you? I'm just a kid." I said, I know that isn't right." He said, "Well, you be careful." Well, I knew him. He knew my dad. He knew my mother. He knew my mother's family. And I went on down the road. And he told all about it all over town, and people never let me forget it. But if that had been a policeman, according to the law, a policeman is bound to arrest somebody that does like that, even if it was a mistake. And it was a mistake, of course, on my part. But a sheriff has, as a peace officer, has discretion to arrest, to not arrest, to investigate, to not investigate, to summon the posse, to not summon the posse. It's within the scope of his authority to make that call, just as it's within the scope of the authority of the state's attorney to prosecute a crime that he thinks is committed or not prosecute. He's an elected office holder, like the sheriff. He has that discernment. A police officer doesn't have that. The sheriff, I've come to conclude, the last few years especially, the sheriff is of foundational importance, as is the jury, but the sheriff is too. The sheriff is foundational importance. The sheriff has the power of discernment to say, "I'm not obeying the judge's order here. No, this is unlawful. I'm not going to do it." He has that kind of discernment. By tradition, by law, by custom, support your sheriff. Remember, the posse is the power of the county only if it's under the control of the sheriff. To use it or not to use it, that's his discernment. And when they're summoned, like Red Simpson told those fellas there at West Union, "You stand fast and don't do anything until I tell you." Now, I told that story because one fella did do something he wasn't supposed to do. Well, maybe it worked out okay, but that wasn't right that he did that, unless Red Simpson ordered him to, and I never heard that Red Simpson ever ordered him to pull the trigger on that 12-gauge shotgun. Makes you laugh, though. I get it. Probably did a good thing. Probably taught those boys a lesson. Probably cured their contempt. Probably adjusted their attitude. But nonetheless, this is Brent, AlanWintersCommonLawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. Thank you, John, there, and Gerard, and back to you.
Okay. Hang on. It's not unmuting. Hang on. Oh, no, I guess it's unmuted. Okay, thank you, Brent. Let's see, who do we have? What do we have left in our chat? Oh, yeah, we got some people left there. Well, it's 11:15. Okay, I'll get right to it. So maybe we can get through these people and see what's up. Okay, Cynthia from Arizona, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. Are you there? Hello? Hello, hello? Can anybody hear me? I'm not sure if my mic's working. Looks like it is. Hello? Maybe it's not.
Yes, Gerard, we can hear you.
Okay. Oh, well, Cynthia is dead quiet, so. Going once, going twice. All right, I'm going to just go to the next one. Okay, David from New York. Cynthia, if you should get back on, you can get back in, but go ahead. David from New York.
Hey, how you doing? It's Kevin.
Oh, it's Kevin. How you doing, Kevin?
Okay, yep, it's Kevin from New York. That's the guy who calls up all the time and says, "Where's my book?" Well, I got my book.
Well, that's good. We like to hear that.
Oh, yeah, I got the book. I went through it, and fantastic, I'll tell you. I went through the first couple of pages there, and I'm reading, and I guess it's John talks about how this book is going to be the equivalent of the atomic bomb of World War II, and I concur and agree with him 100%. This is the bomb.
This is the bomb, yes. Okay. That's a good review there. Okay. We like them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'll tell you, I had to put a new hard cover on it. I know I'm going to be going through this book like crazy. It reminds me of my paramedic days, this thick book. And
yeah.
The book's going to get ripped up pretty quick, so I put a nice hard cover on it, and I'm going to town on this book with my yellow marker.
It's really a great
piece of work. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for the good review. And we suggest that everybody get one in a household at least.
Yep. So. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks for that. Okay. Next up is
good evening, David from Florida.
Hey, David.
I actually have a few questions. I was wondering if you guys had a flow chart for, like, the series from arrest to final deposition, like, in a court case, so people would understand, like, how to move through the court, and if something happens, like, what they can do.
Well, I don't know that we have a flow chart per se. But we did have a jurisdictionary course, which explains the whole justice system, which would be, it should be uniform. You know, criminal cases, they're the same. I mean, you know, they have to do certain things. They have to have pretrial hearings and that. And I do believe all that information is probably in that jurisdictionary course.
Okay, I took that course when I first started studying law. So.
Right, and that one was written by a lawyer.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I don't know if we offered any more, but John took that book, and he went through it, and he took some of the and made it more common law. You know, I mean, and of course, you know, if you go into a court and you're trying to run common law, they may not cooperate with you, but he corrected some of the stuff that was what I want to say, legalese in it. Which may or may not help you. It depends on the judge, you know, and how you present it. But I don't know if that's still available. I know he offered that at one time. He went through that jurisdictionary course. I think the jurisdictionary course is like, wasn't it like $300? Do you remember?
Yeah, I believe it was around $300.
Yeah, and
like
John,
you said, it was more.
John and I took that when we first started going into the court because we needed to learn the procedure, and that basically was our first exposure. That and Bill Thornton, of course, but Bill Thornton didn't give you a lot of procedural stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm familiar with him, too. That kind of leads into my next question. Service. Process service or when you serve somebody and they deny it, what would be like another route you an individual could take to get the service effective?
Well, you know, look, if they could deny it all they want, you know, that's why you have to produce certain documentation, you know, like you have a third-party service. A lot of times what we'll do here at NLA is we'll pay the sheriff $35 or whatever they get and let the sheriff serve it because, you know, what are you going to say? The sheriff didn't bring it. He documents it when he brings it, you know?
Well,
so
what if it's the sheriff you're serving?
Well, that's another story. Get one of his deputies to serve him. I don't that's
well,
a good question.
A
well, you don't have to. You can have any third party over 18 do it, but then they got to fill out an affidavit and swear that they did it and, you know, and document the time, the place, and blah, blah, blah. We might even have an affidavit of service on our website. Yeah. So that is perfectly legal to have somebody serve it. Can't be you.
What?
Has to be somebody else.
No, I understand. I went through all that, and I had a buddy of mine do the process service, but they denied it. So my next thought was to do it by publication.
Yeah, you could do that. I don't know how the courts consider that. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think if they leave you, I mean, who denied it? The judge said it was no good, or?
No, I actually mailed it to them, and I got a bunch of them back that just said return to sender.
So he didn't sign the return receipt, is what you're saying?
I didn't certify mail it. I just record postal mail.
Well, if you're gonna do it, I'm pretty sure I'm right with this. But what it is the if you send something certified mail and they refuse it, and I think you got to do it two times or three times. But you save those receipts that come back, and then what you do is then you do the publication. You do it by publication. Once you've exhausted the certified mail thing, then you can put it in the newspaper or however, you know, or on the post office wall or whatever. I don't know what all the methods of publications are. You probably know more than I do on that. But I think that's after you've sent it and they've refused it. They can't just refuse a service and think that's going to get them out of it, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Or you get a very aggressive server that goes to him and sticks it on him and shoves it in his face and says, you've been served. And then what they do is they say, he's so many feet tall, he was wearing this and that, and they document it, and that's it. You know?
Okay. All right. I just wanted to share, like, two scriptures with everybody that might be listening. Something that God's laid on my heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their wicked ways, then I will hear you from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
That's a favorite one of mine.
And this is one of my favorite ones, and I think it more corresponds to our day and age, especially with our Constitution, you know, our covenant with God. It's Judges 21:25, and it's, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You know, basically everybody's a sovereign. You know, the sovereign decrees the law.
So yeah. was that a scripture touting that or complaining about that? You know where I'm going? There was no king, and everybody did what in his own mind. Now, that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, right?
Well, I equated that to us all being sovereign.
I agree, yeah. I mean, that's giving it the benefit of the doubt, right? The trouble with people today, though, is they don't have the spirituality to do that, and they usually take the selfish thing, you know what I mean? And not necessarily with mercy and those things that are necessary for, you know, to operate under God's law as far as justice goes, you know, and judgment. So
yes, and mercy.
And mercy, right. It has to be, they have to go hand in hand.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
but,
unfortunately.
Even God's mercy has a limit, though, you know.
Yeah, well, I think we're about to see what he's going to do.
Yes, and it's funny that you brought those two scriptures up, because we're there, and there are a lot of people that are clerics, so to speak, you know, religious people, and they think that there's no way that we're going to come out of that God had, that we need to be punished for what we've done. And then there's that one, if my people who are, they call themselves by my name, basically what he says is he gives mercy, you know? I mean, and we know that that's true. I mean, that was, wasn't it Jonah was supposed to go announce to them, and he I forget the name of the people, but he hated them. They killed his family, and he didn't want God to give them justice. And that's why he got swallowed up by the whale, because he went, he took off the other way. Didn't want to do what God told him because he didn't want, I don't know if it was the Ninevites or them, he didn't want them to have mercy. So that's a good passage that shows, you know, that what we think, our mind is not God's mind, okay?
No,
and,
sir.
And so obviously, look, if it wasn't for the blessings of God and the blessings of liberty, we would never come out of this, because those clerics are right in a certain sense. We don't deserve it because this stuff all went down on our watch. You know, if we didn't commit the sin of doing it, we committed the sin of omission by not complaining about it. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, well, we're all sinners, and we don't deserve his mercy and grace, but by the blood of Christ.
Right, right. So, anyway, that's what you got to take stock in, because certainly there's been an awful lot of nasty stuff done right now, and I think that the vengeance of the Lord is being called out by the innocents that were slain. A lot, you know what I mean? Their blood calls out, and there's verses in the Bible about that their blood calls out to God for you know, justice. So, you know, I mean, just by virtue of the child trade and the killing of babies and all this stuff, I mean, I don't know. I don't even want to go there, but it's about as low as you can go as far as I'm concerned. I mean, but this is nothing new under the sun. This has been going on. The people were sacrificing their children to Moloch and different gods way back when. I mean, I can't imagine putting your child on a hot grill, on the hot hands of Moloch. They got a fire under there, and you place your child on there and sacrifice him. I mean, that's the height of ridiculousness, a cult, or I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
But
well, thank you for your time.
Yep, and thank you. You too.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Greetings to everyone. Again, I really enjoyed Brent and the gentleman there, the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We need to pay more attention, and this is one thing that I always enjoy, even though I wasn't able to get on there. I had trouble with, I don't know why, for whatever reason, but I could not get my passwords or something to work. This has been unhanded here.
You're a target. No, I've had some nights where I repeatedly couldn't get in or got booted off. I'm having a senior moment here.
Yep. And
Jan right. Jan got kicked off how many times tonight? You know?
Well,
I know what happens. I don't know. I don't know if it's on purpose or not. I try not to say that because I don't want to give them power. It's better not to recognize the devil, because, you know, even if he didn't do it, he'll take credit for doing it. You know.
I will say this, that I clicked on what would be sending me an opportunity to redo my password. But every time I'd go to, from there, I'd minimize and go to my regular email, and there would be no, I couldn't believe it. And so, but finally I said, well, I reckon I'm dunked for tonight. So I get on my cell phone as fast as I can. And then all of a sudden I look at my email, and then you guys with your response, autoresponder, it was in there, and I tried that several different times. It said to copy and paste and then put it in the address bar. I tried that numerous times and never would get it to work. And finally, I just kept right on being persistent there a little bit, and I tried again, and at that time, it allowed me to redo my password.
And that's strange.
Brain strong. And both of them, and they match. Nevertheless, that's a long story made longer than it should be. You have some information in there that is sent to you about a meeting. I don't know whether you've had an opportunity. You're so busy. And I talked
to John today, and he told me that there was supposed to be a meeting
tomorrow. Yes, sir. 9 a.m. You have all the information? So let's move kind of to this strain that there are some people out there. Folks, just to understand, I think you heard the instructions from Mr. John that he's only working with capacity towards us donating some funds to fulfill his goal and ambition, and for all of us, the same thing, to get the books bought and get them to our sheriffs. Well, I and another person by the name of David in the Carolinas, Mr. John already knows this, we're wanting to personally, and we've got a lieutenant governor too, boy, he should be, I believe we're going to do our best to bring him in National Liberty Alliance, and you hear this man speak, oh gosh, he is so knowledgeable and powerful. And boy, he's an adamant for we the people and for our rights. And, you know, I could go on and on with this. So don't want to because we might have a few other people. But
yeah,
want to encourage everybody, please understand this. If you only understand $1 a week, there's 52. You'll have a couple of dollars left over. And right. If you just look at it that way, $50 and get you a book for your neighbor or someone in your family. Go ahead, Mr. Gerard. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
And so I just wanted to say that, folks. That's the way you can look at it. And a dollar is not much value anymore. And so you're getting value though for that 50 of those one denominationals. And so, folks, do yourself a favor. Get one for, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get one for your local library. And then also go to a dean at a college. This needs to be in a curriculum. Go to your high school, principals and so forth and various ones. And get them educated for what would be the most ultimate information, and I'll close right here. Hosea says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Folks, if you don't tend to your business, and that's what's happened to America, for the survival of yourself and your families, the Holy Scripture says we're to love our neighbor as thyself. And in so doing, get your neighbor there a copy. And if all neighbors got a copy for their next door neighbor, it wouldn't be long before America would be like Mr. John has got the mission statement. And I'm all for you, Mr. Rard, and Mr. John, and all the others under the sound of you guys' voice with a mission statement for what you bring to America and for us patriots, and then actually a security blanket for those people that just are, I don't know, they're floundering around out there. And so we're for all people, no matter, you know, who you are. If you're Americans out there, we are this organization. You need to start coming in. And by the way, these recordings for those people that have jobs and so forth, they are recorded, so you can catch up on a Saturday morning or a Sunday for a few and hear information you won't hear nowhere else. All right, I better cut it right there. Oh,
okay, thanks a lot. And
yes, sir.
We'll be talking. Thank you.
We'll see you in the morning.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I think Ross is next.
Hello,
go ahead.
Yes. I'm wondering, did you guys have written anything about land and soil jurisdiction?
I'm sorry, say that again. Anything about what?
Land and soil jurisdiction.
Land and soil jurisdiction? Like with,
yes.
Like with NCON and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's like one of the most abused things. That we've had people go to jail for stupid land and soil things. So we have fought that in the courts. What's your question specifically?
is it because what that person was saying to me? Oh, I read her the website of her. It said she wants to go to. Oh, you go to the land record system to publish those documents. Create it there.
You talking about where they register the deeds or they file the deeds?
Yes.
I know that, you know, if you're doing an allodial title, you got to go back and search the deeds. But that's not land and soil. That's something else. I mean, that's actually land and land patents. That's a little different. When you talk about soil and water, you're usually talking about things like NCON, and they're administrative courts, and they get their power because you consent to them, basically, just real quick. But they're insidious, you know, they're horrible to fight with. But as far as registering something or putting it on the record, you know, you could do that at the county clerk, and they have, and if you have land, you should have a title or a deed there. The trouble is they've played with the terms, and they made us tenants on our own land. So that's a whole other discussion, you know, of correcting your deed.
I'm wondering, how do you reclaim your name from the commerce jurisdiction to international trade jurisdiction?
How do you reclaim your name, you said?
Yes, reclaim your name.
Well, first of all, that whole business of like, all capital letters putting you into the corporation and stuff, that's all fraud. So you don't really have to reclaim your name because they did it, you know. Just remember, when there's fraud somewhere, it's null and void. Fraud vitiates everything. So, you know, if you can articulate that, and I don't know how much good it'll do, because you look at these officials are not educated. And
also, they probably are corrupt too. That's another.
Yeah, the minute they see you doing something like that, and they give them courses today, they say, oh, watch out, these sovereign citizens, they do things like this. You know, and so right away they'll label you a sovereign citizen, where, you know, if you're truly sovereign, you're not going to be a citizen, because a citizen is like part of the city-state. So, I mean, it's an oxymoron, it's a sovereign citizen. You know, if you're a citizen, you're not sovereign, basically.
How about a state, national, or state citizen?
I know the state, national. I know people that were doing it. I don't know if they're going to, you know, who's acknowledging that or not acknowledging that. There's lots of people out there that preach that stuff. I was listening to, what was her name? Oh, geez.
Ann Van Ritzit?
No, there was another one there. I'm having a senior moment. But she has some good stuff, but the thing is there's no guarantee. I mean, if you're not careful, because a lot of that stuff is UCC, you can get yourself in trouble with it, you know, because basically what you're doing is you're getting into a game that they designed for themselves, and that they can change the rules in the middle of the game. But there's a lot with actually understanding the terminology and how you use the words, and, you know, look, you move a capital, move a comma in a legal document, you can change the meaning of the whole thing. And that's kind of like some of the games that they play, you know, for the United States of America, or of the United States, you know, there's lots of different terms that change the meaning, that, and they play games with, you know. So it's not going to be easy, and all that stuff is not going to work until after we take down the fraud corporation that's running us, and that's the whole. Yeah, I mean, that's when they went in and they basically killed our rights when they did the Judiciary Act, you know. And until we get rid of that, and they're bankrupt too. It's a bankrupt corporation, so technically it's operating with no authority. But everybody needs to be awake for that to, for us to enforce anything, for us to fix anything. You know, and we need enough percentage of the people so that we actually have, like Brent says, you need it. The sheriff is very important. That's why we want to educate our sheriffs and take our sheriffs back, because it's very hard to enforce anything when you don't have a law enforcement official, and the sheriff is the elected law enforcement official that makes him the highest law enforcement official in the land, in the county, basically. So, you know, until we can work at those things and have those things, they don't care. They'll put you in jail and throw the key away. Look what they did to these people that walked in the Capitol and police let them in, and they put them in jail, and some of them have been in there for 6 months with no indictments, no charges. They're just sitting there rotten because that they want to play this game. And so
you're basically saying don't play their game until this system goes away.
Right. I mean, look, there's things you can do, like educate your sheriff or get rid of him if he's no good. He's an elected official, and he should talk to you. You should be able to get in to see him. These sheriffs that hide out and don't want to see the public, they shouldn't be in that position, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
it's very important to get a sheriff that respects the Constitution.
Yeah, because our sheriff is a woman.
I don't care if she's a woman. She could do it. She could enforce the Constitution. Right. You know?
A woman might
do it better. So.
Did Johnson hold the book I ordered for her?
Oh, I don't know. I can't tell you that. What county you're in? What state and county you're in?
Clackamas in Oregon.
Okay, in Oregon County.
No, Clackamas County.
Oh, Clackamas County in Texas or Oregon.
No, Clackamas is spelled Clackamas.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We could ask John. John would know. I don't know if he did or not. But
hope I filled a white address for the sheriff's office, actually.
Well, John has all the addresses to the sheriff. So if you've just put the county, and we don't even need the name of the sheriff because he's sending it to the sheriff's department of the county. Because the reason we do that is because we got into trouble in the past because we address it to a certain sheriff, and then that sheriff goes out of office and he's not there and we didn't know about it. So we don't put the name on it. We put the sheriff of, let's say, Greene County, let's say. That way it doesn't matter who's in there. Whoever the sheriff would get the
office of the sheriff.
Right, the office of the sheriff, exactly.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, there's people in there running interference, too. Some sheriffs, they got them so locked down that, you know, sometimes they don't get. Like, we used to send faxes, and they would intercept them before the sheriff got them. I know for a fact they were doing that. You know, they didn't want them to see our faxes, so there's no guarantee that the sheriff gets it, you know. But in a certain sense, that's mail fraud.
Yes. I could actually send, talk to the staff who works under her to not interfere in the thing.
It's not a bad idea to go in there and ask them if they got the book. See what they say. That would be interesting.
Yes.
Matter of fact, that's not a bad idea.
Yes.
Hang on a minute.
You don't want a bureaucrat to stop it to get to the sheriff directly.
You Yeah, Francine just sent me a note that your book is going to the Clatomas County Sheriff. That's who it was addressed to.
Yes.
So yes. If you want to walk in there and say, look, I had a book sent to the sheriff. I want to know. I mean, ask to see the sheriff. Ask to speak to the sheriff. You know?
Okay.
And then ask him if he get the book. But, you know, like John says, you know, when you approach the sheriff, you want to be prepared. It'd be nice if you could have your committee of safety. Established or
community
whatever.
Community safety. Yeah, the community safety established.
Right. If you have that, and then what you do is instead of you just going alone, you go in there with a group of people, two people, three people, and then you say, okay, yeah. we're the people of such and such a county, and we have a whole dialogue that you can use, you know, as far as approaching the sheriff to keep it professional and get his respect. I mean, this book is a great icebreaker, though, because it has a letter from another sheriff, which gives it some more credibility. It's from law enforcement officer to another law enforcement officer. So if he gets that thing, and I mean, you could ask him, did you get it? And then give him some time to read it and say, well, I'm going to stop back in. I got some stuff I want to talk to you, and then come back in with your sheriff's committee. You know what I mean?
I also had John send me the list again for the names of members of National Letter Alliance who is in my county. I talked to one of them. He says he's willing to help me to set up the community of safety.
Yes, and there's other people in NLA you can call. You know, and so don't be afraid to do that when you're setting it up. Make sure you do it right, you know, and they'll help you.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll move to the next call. We only got a few minutes. Thank you. Thanks for your interesting questions there.
Okay,
we have Charlotte. Is that Hawaii? H-I, it looks like. Where are my glasses on? You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Gerard. Yes, it's been a while. This is Charlotte from Hawaii. I just was dipping in. I have been a while. It's been crazy over here. But like it said, we don't have a sheriff here, and they're all appointed by the governor. But we did start a petition to put an elected sheriff on the ballot. But, you know, it's just hard to really communicate with people because of all the pushback and all the threats and tyranny. And it's just been difficult to really get people to sign on. So, but we're trying. I just wanted to jump in. Because I remember the guy calling in about serving somebody and they're not signing. When we were filing certain court cases of calling the HRSs that were violated during the 2020 election here in Hawaii, there were several times that I did serve people because Carl did make the writs and he was the author of most of the cases that we filed. I was the one that served, and as long as you have two people and then you stop, you put the date, time, and stamp, or, you know, you guys kind of like affidaving that service paper, I guess it's different per state or county, you know, just trying to get the legalese document paper together. But, I mean, there are several times people didn't want to sign, and we just said, well, we were here at this date, we gave them the paper, and, you know, that was what was credibility when we did serve the court people. I mean, when we did file it in court. So helps any. I was just sharing.
It always is good to have two witnesses for sure. And then when you do an affidavit, that's like the basis of law. They can't really, you know, they have to recognize that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
you're absolutely right.
So,
okay. I just thought, I miss you guys, and you guys are still going, and I will be, hopefully, if everything goes well, be able to buy a couple of books. I mean, it's just scared to give it to people, and they're just going to be dead in water. I want to make sure that it's credible people that I give it to. You know what I mean?
Right.
So. Anyway, well, Godspeed to you guys, and thank you for letting me chime in, and tell Francine I said hi, and John, God bless you guys, and keep going. You guys are warriors, so I thank you guys for being there.
Yeah, well, same to you. Hold that island down out there. One day I'm gonna get there. I was there as a kid. My father was stationed in Hawaii, and we lived in Honolulu, and my parents hated it. They hated it because it was where we were. We were on the tropical side over there. It's I think it's the island of Oahu, and what happens is one side is a desert is like a desert island. The other side is tropical. And we lived on the side that was tropical. And, of course, back then they didn't have...
Side.
Yeah, and what happened is, like, if you wanted to go away for 3 or 4 days, you had to have somebody come in and open the windows at the right time of day and close them. Otherwise, when you got back, everything was covered in mold and mildew because it was a jungle. It was a jungle. And if you cut yourself, it would take 3 times as long to heal as if you were on the other side, the desert island side. But it was beautiful. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, but, you know. No, and it's still, in a way, you know, hopefully you can come without, I mean, they're forcing vaccines, probably all over the world, but people are getting laid off and fired, and, you know, this is just a wake-up call, and maybe we'll get more patriots to stand up if we just, telling everybody, if we just all fast, 3 days, no shopping, no going out, no nothing for 3 days. We could turn this place around instantly.
But you see, they're using that against us. They're locking us down to put those businesses out of business now. This is their last big push. And they're using the vaccine and everything. Don't get me going. I got 200 more people. It's a discussion for another night, the game that they're playing with this whole COVID thing and the vaccine. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie, and it's all going to come out. And when it comes out, it's going to be worse than when people were jumping off of buildings after the Depression and the War of the Worlds, where he was announcing that the Martians were coming and stupid people jumping off of buildings. It's going to be like that because they got so much vested into believing what the government said, which is going to turn out to be a lie. It's going to turn out to be killing them. And they're just not going to believe that these things can happen. And they're going to wake up and be very, very surprised about the way things really are. And it can't happen soon enough.
One last thing before we hang up. Did you guys see that video of the COVID not having a strain in Canada, Alberta, Canada?
Oh, yeah. And that's not the only place. There's other places that have done that. I think there was some place in Georgia with a... where he said, well, if you can give me a sample of where you isolated the virus, then we can move ahead. And they can't produce it. And that's the same thing that happened in Canada. So they're in trouble. It's getting to be common knowledge now. And they've ordered...
Yeah, so from my understanding...
PCR, they're not allowed to use that test after December.
And one last thing before we hang up, I want to respect everybody's time. But me and Carl was digging into this, the HRS, the procedures, the civil. So he actually fell upon this thing of something about the civil procedures rule 60. That I think we're going to try and file that this week on trying to call them on this HRSs that have been violated because of the mandate being 60 days. So. That's where we're heading on that right now this week. So,
yeah, well, that's good because believe me, they've violated so much stuff. They only make you follow the law. They don't follow their own laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
And that's what they. You know, it's a 2-tier system. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for you guys' time. Godspeed to each and every one of you, and have a blessed evening. Thank you for your time and sacrifice.
Yeah.
Aloha.
We'll see. Okay. So next in the queue is Bonnie Porter. Go ahead, Bonnie.
This is Scott down here in Georgia.
Okay.
I called in a few weeks ago and asked you about if y'all had a copy of the Magna Carta that's been interpreted. And I want to call and tell you thank you for that because I have survived a malicious prosecution, and I'm in the process of writing out my claim now. It's over 200 pages and growing. And I went over that Magna Carta, and it's got some very interesting amendments or articles in it.
Well, that's what our Constitution and Declaration of Independence are based on, basically, is the Magna Carta.
Oh, yeah. I'm quoting the articles of the Magna Carta. I'm quoting the King James Bible, 1611, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, Black Law Dictionary. I've got a good claim going, and I just want to call in and tell you thank you. I'm glad y'all had that man card up there, because it's got some interesting articles.
Well, I'm glad we could help.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that folks that try to go into court on the free land, on the free man on the land stuff, you know, all that stuff's true, but you know, you walk in a court with no record, they gonna steamroll you right over. You know, they tried to do that to me. They forced me through a court of not a record. You know, and you know, a court of not a record, they don't have any power to fine or imprison. But they were threatening me with jail. And I stood on constitutional grounds. You know, they trying to charge me bills of attainder. You know, bills of pain and penalty without due process. And a grand jury, you gotta stand strong on them constitutional grounds. You gotta know what you're doing too.
Absolutely. You prevailed, did you say?
Oh well, I'm working on my claim now. I'm going to file soon, but I've got a lot of work into it. Like I said, it's 200 pages and growing. It's actually 270 pages, but I'm putting as much as I can in there because I want to send shockwaves to this legal system.
Well, good luck. Let us know how you're doing. So
I'm glad
we helped you with that Magna Carta thing.
Yes, sir.
I got like 2 minutes. I'm going to move to the last guy because I want to say that I got everybody. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, goodbye. Last but not least, we got Everett. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned something about the UCC. Where on the website can I learn about it?
About the who? The what? Did you say the UCC?
UCC.
Yeah, we don't teach the UCC. There's plenty of people out there that do it. We're kind of afraid of the UCC because it gets so complicated, and you know, the trouble is if you start using that and you quote it, and what happens is it allows them to use it against you too. So if you're not familiar with it, you can get in trouble real fast. And the other thing that we notice with the UCC stuff is they do change it occasionally, and it's basically written. It's written for themselves. It's written for the bar. So, I mean, there are some guys that understand it really well, you know, and the thing is that once you prevail on a certain thing, the next thing you know, they change it. And, you know, somebody else wants to, they don't want to set precedent with that stuff. So it seems to me that somehow it's easier for them to change those UCC rules when they need to. I mean, you might prevail that time, but then if I want to come behind you and do it, they always plug the hole that you caught them on, you know? I mean, I'm not to say that you can't get them in a horn dilemma. That's how you want to get them. You want to get them so they can't move either way. And, I mean, that's true whether you use in common law or the UCC or their statutes against them, you know? But we don't have any information on UCC per se. I don't believe. I mean, we've never really advocated it. So John stays completely away from it when we're doing our paperwork. We don't use it at all. Oh, I know. There was that woman. Her name was April Lejeune. She's a big UCC advocate, but, you know, And she tells you how to go through with your birth certificate and all this stuff. But like John says, that's all going to go away because it's all fraud anyway. It's all designed, you know, to keep the kings in power, and it gives you the two-tiered system, justice for them and no justice for us, you know.
What was her last name?
Say that again. Oh, April LaJune, like L-A June, J-U-N-E, La June. You know, April, May, June? So it's La June. April La June. That's funny. I never realized that. April, May, June, right? maybe that, I don't know, maybe that's not a real name, but that's how you find her. If you Google April La June, you'll find her.
Okay, thank you.
Just be careful. Be very, very careful. All right?
Thank you.
How you use that. Okay, thanks a lot. Well, thank you, folks. It was a very good call tonight. A lot of participation, a lot of intelligent questions. And, you know, keep your prayers. Pray for the president. Pray for, you know, the real president. And pray for the country because we're at a turning point. And it's gonna happen. And you're going to see a lot of stuff go down, I believe, this summer. So we'll see. Anyway, God bless, and keep your powder dry.